about.
You know, it's just occurred to me we really haven't had a completely successful test of this equipment.
I blame myself.
So do I.
Well, no sense worrying about it now.
Why worry? Each of us is wearing an unlicensed nuclear accelerator on his back.
Yep. Let's get ready. Switch me on.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Are you troubled by strange noises in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement or attic?
Have you or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals.
Ghostbusters.
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you.
And now.
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it. Let's do it.
Our feature presentation.
It's Ghostbusters Day. How about that?
Happy right. Ghostbusters Day, guys.
Right? Forgive my ignorance or poor memory, but is Ghostbusters Day always a thing or is it just a thing this year?
I can answer that. I have no idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Allie?
It's always a thing, but you celebrate it more now because it's more of a thing.
Wait,
yeah. Back
so
to
you're
you.
Telling me
I like my answer.
Your answer was
my
better,
was better.
More concise.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're telling me that if I went back a year on the internet, I would find references to Ghostbusters Day last June.
Sure, like a guy named Todd in Tulsa loves Ghostbusters.
Guy's crazy
yeah.
over that movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Does he love it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it makes sense because it's, you know, the people are excited about the new movie and everything, but it just 32 years does seem like an odd benchmark.
32 is not. It's not like 30. It's
not the big
yeah.
one, I don't think.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm excited about Ghostbusters Day today anyway.
How are you going to celebrate, Pete?
I thought I might talk to Ivan Reitman, the director of the original.
No way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
In studio today. How weird is that? That's bizarre.
It's fun.
Yes, it is.
I like it. Hey, Who here in this room has cereal for breakfast? Let's go around the room. Kevin, you eat cereal in the mornings?
A lot, yes.
Really? You get up before you come in and you have cereal?
Yep.
All right. Chip?
Over the weekends.
Weekends, cereals? Allie?
Never.
Never?
Never cereal.
Yeah, a little thing called milk.
Milk.
Oh,
yeah. And don't say, oh, you should try lactate milk. No.
Have you tried lactate milk?
Oh, I have. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Well, I read a fascinating article this week about how cereal is in big trouble. Sales have fallen 9% in the last 4 years. That is a tremendous amount of people not buying cereal. 9% when you think about how big the cereal business is. That's millions of people not eating cereal.
Allie.
Right?
I apologize.
Apparently, part of the reason is growing competition at breakfast time from other foods. Greek yogurt has become a popular choice. Thanks, Jamie Lee Curtis. Apparently, bacon and eggs have made quite a comeback too. They are more popular than they were at one time, which surprised me a little bit. They've got a lot of campaigns about how eggs are good for you again. But one of the reasons that some people cite is that there haven't been very many new cereals in a long time. In fact, the last new cereal that is still around that had any kind of staying power came out in 1994, over 20 years ago, and that was Reese's Puffs.
Oh, jeez.
Which, Kevin, has to be a favorite of yours.
Those are great.
Reese's Puffs.
Oh, love it.
That was a deal that General Mills made with Hershey for Reese's Puffs. But they've had a lot of other cereals that have come and gone. There was one called Wackies, which was a banana-flavored Lucky Charms spinoff. That didn't last long.
Nope.
There was a powdered donuts cereal back in the 1980s. It didn't last very long.
Okay.
There was one in 2001 called Harmony. That was oat clusters and flakes that was designed specifically for women, made for a woman's body, and women said no.
It's just a terrible idea.
Harmony. Huh. Well, part of the reason this article is being written is because this month a brand new cereal is being launched, the first in a while, and I wanted to see what you guys thought about it. It is called Tiny Toast. It's a General Mills cereal called Tiny Toast. It just debuted on Monday. It comes in two flavors, strawberry and blueberry. It's toast, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not literally. It's like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That's not
right.
Toast.
Right. It's very similar to what it is. Yes, it's being positioned between Honey Nut Cheerios and Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It is whole grain oats and corn covered in strawberry or blueberry powder and contains no artificial flavors or colors. Tiny Toast, in development for over a year, sprung from the idea of real tasteful fruit cereals.
After 25 years, right? This is what they come up with.
What a tiny
toast. Let's make little toast. That would be awesome.
What do you look? It's impossible to guess if we haven't tasted it. Maybe we taste it. It's the greatest thing in the world.
I'm sure it will be.
They say this one smells and tastes like real fruit, and that's why they think it has a chance to make it in the marketplace. But it is very expensive to launch a new cereal because you've got, you know, a tremendous ad budget on any kind of new product to try to get some sort of awareness. Because if you are a cereal eater, you already know what you're going to buy when you go to the supermarket.
Yeah.
You
can buy the same stuff every time.
Yeah. Kevin, you're going to get Count Chocula and you're going to get Lucky Charms.
Uh-huh,
you know,
both,
all this. It is, how likely is it that you're going to pass that up one time at the market and go, you know what? I think I'll try the Tiny Toast.
I don't know. This is sort of weird enough that I would go, Tiny Toast? Man, I got to try it.
Yeah.
Well, please do. If you see it, will you try it and let us know how it is?
Is that homework?
Sure, when you get around to it, okay. Yeah. Right. I just, I'm always, by the way, there is a Chocolate Cheerios, which I didn't realize. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Is it no good?
It's okay, yeah.
Okay.
It's good.
I'm always interested to read, you know, deep dives on businesses that I don't know anything about. So, Tiny Toast, you guys.
Tiny
first
toast.
New cereal line in 15 years.
I am curious, though, Kevin, as a cereal connoisseur.
Yes.
What is your favorite?
Well, probably Lucky Charms.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably Lucky Charms.
Do you eat the Charms first, or do you eat them last?
Good
or
mixture.
A
mixture,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Thanks for asking, though.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
I'm very excited. I'm very pleased. I want you to get right down there, check it out, and get back to me.
Ivan Reitman.
Yeah.
In studio. Very excited about that. We also have Donald Faison, who, of course, was on Scrubs. He's on a new show called Winsanity. Last night was another Bachelorette.
Right.
I don't believe that.
I hear it was all Chad all the time.
So we have another Bachelorette report. Usually
fantastic.
We do it at 8:05. Today it's at 7:05. And we're going to do thanks for that tweet, Bean.
How dare you, by the way.
And finally, we are going to talk about something that is known as anal beautification.
Sure.
You don't have to tell Allie.
Nope. I mean,
best
I didn't think it could get more beautiful, but it can.
It sure can.
It sure can.
So we'll talk about that today. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is
hey!
K-Rock. Q? Right? Kevin DeBeecho.
Right? Chip's nodding her head. She knows.
That was the right song, I think, to go with, but it was a little late.
Timing.
Thank you, Chip.
Ming, yeah.
I'm going to go with the professional musician over you, bitches.
Well, she would know, I guess.
She would know. She's got timing.
Hey, it's Wednesday morning.
See?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Told you.
It's a mess. Wednesday morning, Rob is here. That means it's time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin DeBeecho Show. What's new? What's going on?
Oh, only one story matters. Just one. Right, Allie? You're with me.
Yes.
Yes.
I am.
You are.
Get ready, Kevin.
And that story is?
Kevin. It looks like we'll be getting a...
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Fifth season of Nashville.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah.
I thought they got canceled.
It did. It got canceled by ABC last month.
Uh-huh.
But looks like CMT.
Your favorite network.
My favorite network will be picking up a fifth season of the show.
Oh, it's so good.
A formal announcement is expected to be made during tonight's CMT award show. So, as always, I'll be tuning in to the CMT Awards to make sure I get my official announcement. But it looks very strong that it'll be back.
That seems smart for CMT to me.
You think?
Yeah.
Just because they're a country music-centric network and Nashville is a drama about the country music industry?
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis there.
You see that as a good fit?
That might be good.
You're bold.
My point was ABC canceled it because the ratings weren't high enough, but they don't need nearly the ratings that they would have on a network like ABC on CMT to still be a huge success.
Right.
They might drag some new people onto that channel.
They're going to drag me. Kicking and screaming.
Consider me dragged. What?
Not sure.
Okay.
So that's good news.
And all the principals are coming back, as far as we know, Ralph?
Well, that's TBD,
all right.
As they say in the entertainment business. That stands for to be determined.
Ooh, I like it. Yeah. Hope that catches on.
And I believe many of the cast are still under contract. I don't know if that carries over, if the production company goes to a new network, but I would assume it would. However, they will get a full list of cast members returning before the start of production, naturally, so we'll wait and see. But the producers were so... They had seen this coming for a long time. They were so confident that this may indeed happen that they actually ended the series on a cliffhanger, even though they had another ending shot that would have sort of tidily summed everything up.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So, what's happening with that jet, right?
Right.
It's the jet. It's all right. About the
Where's
jet.
Where's Juliet?
Where's Juliet and the jet?
My right. God, just her boyfriend and baby just waiting there on the runway like, hey, can't wait to see you. Oh, God, they're missing.
Right.
Oh, so good.
More exciting TV news. Whoopi Goldberg has re-signed on The View.
Woo! Yeah, Kevin.
Right
it.
On!
For the show's 20th season.
Woo!
20 seasons of The View there have been. Begins this fall. Variety says the contract will be for the same amount as her current salary. So that's between $5 and $6 million to talk on The View.
Deserved.
Every penny of it, right?
Hey, it's an hour a day, you guys. It's a lot of work.
Apparently, Whoopi only works 4 days out of the week. She has what they call the Kevin Ryder schedule.
Four?
Yeah,
I wish.
Poor Whoopi is working herself
working
to death
up to that.
Compared to Kevin. So, Joy Behar apparently will continue to be the lead chair on The View when Whoopi's on her day off. But very exciting View news. So we got that going for us.
And recapping, The View is still on.
Yes.
Okay.
Someone tried to torch Dash Monday night. Dash, for those of you who aren't familiar, is the Kardashian clan's signature clothing store in West Hollywood. Reportedly, a man was thrown spotting a burning rag into the shop. Sadly, the fire burned itself out without causing any damage. Police are now looking for the wannabe artist. They said they're trying to narrow it down to a list of suspects of anyone who may personally dislike the Kardashians. So they're looking at 300 million people, hoping to narrow that down to a more manageable number.
You don't think I feel bad?
Nope. I've got an alibi. That came to me first. The cop showed up at my door. Hmm. Did you try to burn Dash? I said, oh. It's a sweet idea. How did I think of that? I'd like to see that store. Charbroiled! I said. You guys, you know what today is?
Ghostbusters Day?
It is Ghostbusters Day. June 8th. 32 years ago on this day, Ghostbusters was released. It's very exciting. It's
also, that's a big Twinkie.
It is a big Twinkie. It's also BFF Day.
BFF.
Oh.
Yes.
I saw that trending this morning. I didn't know where that came from either. Why is it BFF Day today?
That's for people who have best friends forever.
Right, but why is it today, I guess, was my question. Is it some historical significance to that?
Yes, today's the first day anyone ever had a best friend.
Wow.
So it was Todd in Tulsa, I think.
Oh.
He had his first best friend today.
He loves Ghostbusters,
he does
too.
Love Ghostbusters. Todd has a lot of sway with the holiday committee.
Sure does.
He gets to push a lot of stuff through. A lot of legislation goes through Todd.
Yes, and of course... His name is Todd,
right?
And of course, he has a creeper beard and a creeper mullet. I'm not saying you're bad if your name's Todd, but so many of these type guys have the name Todd, and he just fits the bill. I don't know why, what mold they come out of, but I have two daughters. I have a son. It makes my stomach turn to look at him.
Wow.
A
lot of thoughts on Todd today.
Don't want to be Todd.
How excited were you to play your Todd junk?
Had it in the chamber.
I'm going to put away this little Todd audio.
Time it comes up.
Someday, some guy's going to be named Todd, and I'll be ready.
Did it work?
Yeah.
Yes.
Worked well. How many pieces of audio do you think Bean has? If he's got a special
all.
Todd chunk put aside.
He's all.
Also on today, June 8th, these folks were born. Frank Grillo. Oh, how tough is he? He's tough as nails.
I'm not placing him by the name.
Crossbones!
I don't know what that is.
Captain stuff like on Poison?
Yes, basically, but he's a villain from the Marvel Universe. Captain America, Winter Soldier, Captain America, Civil War. Anything, anything ringing a bell?
No.
Nothing, huh? Okay. Juliana Margulies. She's a good wife. Not a great wife, but she was a good wife. 50 years old. Maria Menounos, TV show host, is 38 years old. And Kanye West!
Kanye West!
Still owes Jensen Karp $300.
What's the point of thinking?
That's a good point. 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have a bonus episode of The Bachelorette Report for you on this morning's program because there were two episodes on ABC TV this week of The Bachelorette. So Ralph and Petros will have that for you just after 7. And Donald Faison will be joining us too. Now, we know him and love him as an actor. Now, game show host. So we'll talk to Donald about that coming up on K-Rock.
Let's talk about B-hole beauty.
I'm sorry?
Shall we?
are they on tour this summer? Chip, are they going out with your band, B-Hole Beauty? What do you know about B-Hole Beauty, Kevin?
Well, I mean, it's a medical thing that you can go to this man's office, and he will make your B-hole be much more attractive.
Okay.
And who doesn't want that?
When you aim to look your best, that goal includes all aspects of your physical appearance. With this philosophy in mind, cosmetic anal rejuvenation, ladies and gentlemen, benefits the consummate perfectionist who wants a customized, clean aesthetic throughout his or her body. Apparently, it is desirable for a number of reasons. So we wanted to find out more about cosmetic anal procedures. Like, what can they possibly do to it to make it look better? Like, I don't even know where you start in a reconstruction process like that. Do you?
I don't, but we have somebody who does on the phone.
All right. This is going to be Dr. Sven Jorgensen. He is from Rectal Heaven Clinic. Rectal Heaven Clinic. Hello, Dr. Jorgensen. Welcome to the program,
sir. Good morning.
Sir.
How are you?
We're good. Thank you.
Welcome to Rectal Heaven.
Where is Rectal Heaven? Is that in Southern California?
Yeah, we're in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, thank you so much for having me.
I'm sorry. It sounded like you were going to say more. I apologize.
You only asked me where it was. Like, what more could I say about that, really?
Okay. My mistake. I apologize. So what's involved in complete rectal beauty?
Well, you know, so many people look at other orifices on their body, and they care about them, and they take care of them, you know. You adorn the ears with earrings. Mm-hmm. You put eye makeup on. You want your lips to look good.
Right.
Sure. Don't forget about the anus, is what we say here at Rectal Heaven. Don't forget about the anus.
The anus. Right. Okay.
Okay.
So, but I guess what I was asking before we got you on the phone, sir, and I apologize for my ignorance, is I don't know what's possibly available to make that part of your body look better. It seems to me it just kind of is what it is.
No, not at all is what is.
Okay.
You have to remember that part of your body often is going through constant stretching and then going back together again.
Right.
And then stretching and go back together again.
Right.
And, you know, with age, as skin stretches, it doesn't bounce back always as nicely as before it did.
Okay.
So we can tighten that area up with anal rejuvenation. And we'll just, snip, snip, cut, cut, tie, tie.
Uh-huh.
And we can use many different procedures to make it look a new look for your anus.
Mm-hmm.
It's more beautiful than ever, and people will be going, wow, look at that anus.
It says here that it's done for aesthetic purposes when an individual wants to achieve a new look that is elegant and refined.
Right, yeah, you want a nice, good anus for people to look at and say, oh, let me get a selfie with that.
But in general,
I think people are doing that.
In general, you don't show people your b-hole. That just doesn't happen so that they can go, wow, that's beautiful.
Well, that's maybe sad for you.
Okay.
That you don't have good friends, I guess. I'm not sure what it says about you, but a lot of people around here come to me and say, I want a nice-looking anus.
Huh, how about that?
So we have many procedures of doing. We're in the clinic now. We start early in the morning. We're
Yes? Well, we don't want to interrupt if you're with a patient,
Doctor.
That's
fine. She's happy to show you. I'm just hammering out some spots here that needs. She got a few dents. There's a few dents. So first thing,
use a hammer?
You were knocking on the door. You're on her beehole?
Oh, yeah. That's me with a hammer. You got to flatten out the dents before you put the Bondo in.
Oh, damn.
That's a sander. We got a belt sander.
That sounds so painful.
Painful, yeah.
Oh, no. We pump her full of drugs. She's fine.
All right.
But we take. Yes.
Is that a saw?
Yeah, there's a few things that have to be cut off here.
Oh, wow.
There's a carbuncle. over there?
She would not be pleased that you're doing an interview during her procedure.
She's so unconscious.
Okay, all right.
Yes. Oh, a drill?
Yeah, we're tightening up the lug nuts. We have one of those things you use in race car driving, you know, when
right,
it's
yeah.
and it spins.
Where are the lug nuts?
Right there, you
okay,
know?
Right there, okay. Right there. All right.
They're gonna... right.
What's that?
I'm afraid of the answer to this one.
What is that?
It's just sometimes I bring in some guys and we stretch the skin a little bit. We got to pull back and forth and it makes that seesaw sound.
Okay.
Eventually, it tightens things up and then...
Whoa.
That's a bionic butthole right there.
Oh.
Sometimes we got to place the whole thing. You got to put in a new part, you know? You can't help it.
No.
But now she can do amazing things with that anus, I got to tell you. It's a sphincter for the ages.
All right. Thank you for talking to us today. We appreciate it. Let's open up the phone lines, 1-800-520-1067. If you have anything that you would like to talk about, it's Kevin Abedes. What's good?
I would imagine that you're paralyzed at this point and unable to use the phone after hearing what the doctor just did that poor lady's ass.
Maybe you need more information on that. That's fine. Maybe you want to talk about Warriors Cavs. That's fine. TV shows we haven't seen. That's fine.
Questions, comments, complaints. We are wide open. In the words of the Ghostbusters on Ghostbusters Day, we are ready to believe you. So give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Any topic you pick, we'll get you next here on the Kevin Abedes Show on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Shh.
This is...
Shh. Shh.
Sorry.
My favorite part. Hold on.
Sorry.
Hey!
Okay, now.
Okay, now. It's Kevin Abedes Show on K-Rock at 637.
1-800-520-1067. Let's get right into it. Your phone calls are on the air because it's time for Kevin Abedes. What's good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
We got an interesting batch on the board here. Why don't we go to Huntington Beach and start with Chris? He is on line 5. He's up first on the Kevin Abedes Show.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. What's good?
You know what? These sharks. I want to let everybody know that's listening. There's too many sharks right now by the beaches.
Okay.
If you're in Orange County and you're planning on going to the beach, don't.
Well, look, it's hard to argue if you're the person who gets bit by a shark. Yes, there are too many sharks. But for the hundreds of thousands of other people who go in the water every single day and don't get bit by a shark, it's probably okay for them.
No.
No, I think this is Chris's way to not have people come to the beach.
Oh, that's
I think
all
Chris is basically like, don't come here.
I'd
it's
like
too
it to
crowded.
Myself. Too dangerous.
A 52-year-old woman was mauled by a great white shark, and they tried to say it was a sea lion to keep everybody coming to the beach. It's a trap.
Oh, it's a trap. Admiral Akbar on the phone.
No.
So you do you honestly think that the authorities and the media are working together to cover up an actual shark invasion because they think it would panic people?
Yes.
Hello, Sharknado.
Okay. Well, there was Sharknado.
I mean, come on.
All right, Chris. Well, you have sounded the alarm, man. It's out there now. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Manhattan Beach now, just up the coast. Renee is on line 1.
I hope she's safe.
Yeah, I do, too.
What? What are those party people?
Hey, Renee, before you go on with this phone call, look around and make sure there are no sharks attacking. Are you okay?
Oh, my God. There's one in the car with me.
Oh, no.
Well, what can we do for you? What's good?
So what?
I said, what's good?
Oh, my God. Bishop briefed at the Troubadour by K-Rock last night.
Now, she is a very talented singer-songwriter. She played the side stage at the K-Rock Weenie Roast recently, and a lot of people are discovering how wonderful she is.
Yeah, I went because you guys were blasting it, and it was amazing. Seriously,
wow.
Check her out. Yeah, she has not been with a choreographer yet. Clearly, but so amazing. Like, yeah, she just jumps around. But, go.
All right.
Go.
So that's your tip.
Go
see Bishop Briggs. By the way, thank you very much for the call, Renee. By the way, when we first started playing her, remember, for weeks and weeks, she was just Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
she became Bishop Briggs. And I wondered about that. I looked that up. There, it turned out there was another band named Bishop
that complained
to hate.
Were
they good?
They had four albums out, so they've been around for a while.
But were they good?
I don't know if they were good enough, but I don't think that's how it's determined whether you can call your act the same as somebody else's.
But
they contacted her and said, hey, we've kind of already been Bishop for 20 years, so that's why she became Bishop Briggs, in case you were wondering why she changed her name kind of midstream.
Her voice, just to stick with that for a second, her voice is incredible.
It's amazing.
For it to come out of, she's just this tiny, tiny thing, and that voice is astounding.
Yeah, she's an artist to watch for sure. By the way, 1-800-520-1067 if you want to get in on Kevin and Bean's What's Good, as does Ernest. He's in Riverside. He's up next. He's on line 4. Hey, Ernest.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I have a crazy ass ex that I'm debating on getting back with her now.
Wait, you have a crazy ex-girlfriend that you are now free of, and your question is, should you get back together with her?
Yeah, well, it's a little more than that. Well, we have a house together, and she basically lets me be the man that I want to be. You know, I go out with the boys, play my video games, and she's down with it. Pretty much all just our stuff that, you know, other girls won't let their guy do. So I'm kind of like, you need more of that. But she just went crazy a couple of weeks ago, and that scared me off. But now I'm kind of like,
she went crazy mean?
Yeah, what did you do to make her go crazy, Ernest?
Because a lot of times the women don't just go crazy for no reason.
Okay, well, I push buttons, but that's still no reason to you know, scream in someone's face or put their hands on them a little bit.
You know, there's never a reason to put hands on each other ever.
Right, but why are you pushing buttons?
Yeah. What's happening, Ernest?
Well, because she pisses me off.
Okay. Right? She also has a crazy ex-boyfriend right now. You know that, right?
I guess a little bit, I guess.
So she's down with you playing video games and everything else?
Oh, yes.
Well,
okay, you share a house. Are you in the house together right now?
Negative. I'm at a friend's house.
Negative.
Okay.
I think maybe you guys could talk it out. Maybe lay some ground rules. Maybe have a discussion about when you do push buttons. Talk about how that's not okay.
Yeah, I mean, she called me yesterday begging and everything, telling me she would do anything. Even go to therapy, so that's what made me think. Like,
see?
That maybe flew into change and all that.
It's not a terrible idea to talk it out and get some ground rules. Look, there's a reason you're considering going back, because clearly there is some affection still there. You guys probably still want to be together if it weren't so hard. So maybe just try to talk it out and figure out a way that you don't piss each other off.
But if she was on the line, we would tell her, do not get back together with that guy.
Absolutely. That guy's run as far as you can go.
And if she becomes rabid again once more, then what?
Look, there is a point at which it's too much and it's time to get out. Sometimes a relationship is irretrievably broken. You just don't know yet whether you're at that point because you haven't worked hard enough to find out. All right? Get back to us, Ernest. Let us know how it goes, all right?
All right. Thank you for calling.
If relationships were easy, we'd all be in them.
Right?
Right?
Right. Let's go to Dion.
What? I thought we were done. You're going to get us into soccer talk?
Oh, no.
We had an out. We had a farewell, goodbye, sayonara, see you later.
Oh, no. Right, but then we have other calls to go to.
Oh, dear God.
This is going to be a good one.
What is wrong with you?
Hey, Gio.
Hey, I'm here.
Yeah, you are, Gio. But it better be good.
Considering you talk a lot about baseball,
right?
Better than that, right?
Right.
Yeah, U.S. Amen. U.S. won 4-0 yesterday, right, Kevin?
That's right. Copa America's going on. USA finally won a game 4-0. But have you been following the problems that they've been having at the stadiums?
Oh, hey, I'm covering it from the field. Of course I have. I was there for the Chile game yesterday.
Is that the one where they started playing the national anthem, then interrupted it with Pitbull?
That's the one when they started the national anthem and they played it with Pitbull.
Freaking Pitbull came
through
on that one. And a game before that, Uruguay was playing, and they played the wrong national anthem through the whole thing.
What's happening?
It's insanity. Talk about what?
Talk about glorious, right?
Yeah, no kidding. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, because they always put the camera very close up on the athletes. And they were all looking around like, what's happening here?
What's going on?
It's not our national anthem. So what's the problem? Why can't we get the music right? And why is Pitbull anywhere in the realm of being able to play? That makes no sense.
I think someone just got fired recently, that's all. And I think they left the national anthem for Chile in Phoenix. That's all the problem was.
They left it in Phoenix?
Okay. Yeah, the Uruguay national anthem, the one that they didn't play
right.
The
one they played the wrong one,
Chilean,
right?
And then the one that they played Pitbull the night before was
the one they play in Phoenix.
Look, the phone's ringing. What am I going to do?
What are you going
to
do?
I got to move on. Baseball. I have to move on. I have to move on, and I have to apologize to Bean. What's good? 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6.53.
Yesterday, when we wrapped up the Bachelorette Report with Ralph and Petros, it was a little bit of a cliffhanger as to what was going to happen with Chad. It sounded like it was going down, Ralph.
Chad is off the rails.
So there was a new episode last night, and we'll have a complete recap for you coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
You won't believe what happens.
I can't wait.
You won't believe that it could happen on a major network television program.
Love it.
Where people have to be screened to be on the show.
And you're saying that living in a country where a woman pooped in a stairwell on the Flava Flav reality show, and this is still going to surprise us.
Nothing.
That's nothing.
Nothing.
Wow.
My fear is, though, that the producers over there at the Bachelor / Bachelorette / Bachelor in Paradise / Bachelor Pad, Bachelors
right.
franchise,
uh-huh.
are now going to become addicted to this kind of television because it's so riveting. And they're going to change their promo spots. When you watch The Bachelorette, it goes, are you looking for love? Why don't you come down to one of our free casting calls? They're going to say, are you bat-ass crazy? Come on down to the casting event and just threaten people.
So it's a freak show now.
Freak show, yeah. So we'll get to that in a little bit. More comic book heroes reaching the big screen. Sacha Baron Cohen, it has been announced, is reportedly working on a new movie called Mandrake the Magician.
Now that's one I feel like I've heard of. Like, that's been around
a long
time,
because
right?
It's from the 30s, Bean, and that's where you live, so it's very, very popular with
it's
you.
It's your wheelhouse.
When you're there at the general store by the pickle barrel with Cletus, I'm sure you guys are opening up your Sunday funnies and reading all about Mandrake the
Magician.
Now,
do we need this?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
There was a whole genre of superheroes before the advent of Superman in the comic books.
Right.
In the comic strips, as they used to be known in the newspapers, you would have Flash Gordon and Mandrake the Magician and the Phantom, and these guys were around even before the modern-day superheroes. So I think this is a cool idea.
I feel like when I used to tune into the wireless to hear the fireside chat, that I would hear some sort of a dramatic telling of the Mandrake the Magician
FDR
stories.
FDR loved Mandrake the Magician, so you would enjoy that. Music news. You know, a lot of musicians are getting hacked. Their Twitter accounts getting hacked over the past weekend. Over the weekend alone, Keith Richards, Tenacious D, Bon Iver. How do you say that, Dan?
Bon Iver.
Mm-hmm, right. Katy Perry. All hacked. It's sort of
It's an epidemic.
Epidemic, yeah. Also hacked was George Harrison's Twitter account. But I thought it was very nice. The guy who hacked that account was a big Beatles fan, and he changed George's bio information on the Twitter account to, "Hey George, follow me when you see this and shoot me a DM. I'll help you secure your accounts. I don't want to cause you any harm, bud," said the hacker.
But it's a kind hacker.
It was a very kind hacker.
Wait a minute.
Several people went out of their way to correct this gentleman and let him know that George probably wouldn't be needing his help. So the guy went back and then changed the buy information saying, "Well, S, I hacked someone and didn't even know they was dead. My bad." So at least he corrected himself and then apologized.
Where's the DM? Why is he not getting one?
He sent another tweet then after that saying, "Sorry for hacking a dead celebrity and sorry I've been living under a rock," he said. So
how long has George Harrison been dead? A long time, right?
Long time.
Yeah.
Long time. Yes. Like many of us, BET hated Madonna's tribute to Prince at the Billboard Music Awards, so the network is doing their own. The BET Awards are going to be on June the 26th, and so they will have a salute to Prince featuring Sheila E., appropriately.
Sure.
Janelle Monáe, D'Angelo, and The Roots will all get together and salute Prince.
I'm in.
Sounds a little more appropriate than Madonna coming out on her unicycle or whatever she did during that thing.
I don't know why the Madonna thing was so bad.
It was awful.
Is it just that she's not a very good singer anymore?
It was like a bad match. It didn't really belong together and stuff.
I mean, they knew each other. They recorded a song together.
Right.
It's not like she was completely not in his orbit at all, but she just doesn't have funky, I guess. Maybe that's the baseline problem. She just doesn't have funky.
And she's never really been known as a powerhouse singer.
No.
Ever.
Right. No, she has the pointy cone boobs and she doesn't have funky.
She doesn't have funky. I've heard that.
As they say in France, she sounds funky.
Right.
Hey, English only, man. English only.
Look, I'm trying to expand people's minds.
Well, I'm trying to get prepared for President Trump.
All right. And speaking of music, Jack White, White Stripes, Seven Nation Army. Great song, right?
Yep, one of the best.
Turns out you don't need Jack White. You don't even need people. All you need is the YouTube channel Insane Cherry, which is one of my favorites. They take clips of animals. For example, in this particular clip, it's cows, goats, dogs, and a fox.
Okay.
And edits them all together making noises in order for them to sing along to Seven Nation Army.
I'm in.
I don't know who has this kind of time.
Me either, but I'm in.
They've done AWOL Nation. They do a ton of artists. This is new from Insane Cherry on YouTube. You can find their videos there. Here is a little of animals, barnyard animals, singing Seven Nation Army.
Jack White going, what is happening?
I feel like you dig it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. He put it out on vinyl immediately.
Right? He's pressing it right now.
Huh. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
How'd you come across that, Ralph?
How did you find that?
That was sent to me.
Okay.
Somebody
curious
said,
about what you're doing in
listen
there.
To this. This is
a Google
fun.
Alert for barnyard animals.
This is fun.
It's pretty good.
And it is fun. Jack's got he's got history working with animals. Remember that one on the drums?
Oh,
how dare you.
Ralph,
I feel very sad.
I don't like it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Frank Grillo is 51 years old today. You guys may better recognize him. I tried to give you the Crossbones connection. You didn't see that one.
Okay.
How about The Purge?
The Purge,
Star
yes.
of Purge 2 and now soon to be Purge 3. Okay, never mind.
I didn't see two. I saw the first one.
All right. Juliana Margulies is 50 years old today. Maria Menounos celebrates her 38th birthday. And Kanye West, Yeezy, celebrates his 39th birthday
What's
today.
The point of thinking?
What is the point of thinking? How often have we said that here on this show?
It's about ideas, bro.
No, we've never said that on this show. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Can't stop the spirits when they need you. This life is more than just a read-through.
Hey!
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:08. Who's ready for a bonus Bachelorette report? Hit it, Steve.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he loves the Bachelorettes. Yeah. With Petros Papadakis always watching it. Yeah. Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on the Bachelorette.
Ow! Yeah.
Ralph, positive.
More positive. Yeah. It was nice, mm-hmm. wasn't it? Hey, P, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
What's popping with you guys? Good morning.
Oh, Ralph dude. Was just telling us, right? You don't sound good, dude. What?
No, I'm okay. What's up?
Okay. Ralph was just telling us that it really was the most dramatic Bachelor ever last night.
Nah, last night was the most dramatic. The night before last was the most dramatic Bachelor ever. We got duped again. You know, they tried to act like... They tried to act like everybody was all bloodied and bludgeoned and beaten from Chad, and Chad didn't lay a hand on anybody, and he's not going to lay a hand on anybody.
Okay, we'll see. Chad did come back into the house after Chris Harrison talked to him, and he said, look, try to make nice with the guys. Go in there, bring a new attitude.
This is the protein shake guy, the guy that's...
This is Mr. Protein Shake. This is guy who does pull-ups with his own... With his suitcase wrapped around his waist, filled with protein powder, who's always out there in the prison yard lifting the iron.
Right.
Former Marine. More veins than anybody has, more vascular than any other person, more blood flowing than any other person that ever lived.
Wait, Shad's a Marine?
I thought there was a different guy that was a Marine.
Alex was also an ex-Marine.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yes. Chad says he's not doing steroids because he wouldn't be able to smuggle them in. That's the only reason he's not doing steroids.
Okay. All right.
So Chad comes in after being given a stern talking to by Crispy Harrison, and he says, all right, I'm going to make nice with everybody. And remember, Evan, the puny little guy who looks like Gary Oldman from The Fifth Element, Chad grabbed his shirt at one point.
Wait a minute. That guy pushed Chad
first. No, he didn't.
Look, watch it in slow motion.
I did watch it. He's trying to squeeze past him in an aisle. And why are you standing up for Chad?
Right. Because he loves
right
Chad.
Look,
Chad is 275 pounds and Evan is 8. How much could he push him?
Evan should have waited until Chad walked out of the aisle before he went in there and tried to nudge him with his little tiny toothpick.
You're a Chad apologist.
You are. You're a Chad lover.
No, I just don't like misinformation from people that are piling on because they're cool guys.
You're Chad.
You are Chad.
I'm going to come out there and Chad you guys.
Exactly. That's how Chad reacts to everything, doesn't he, with threats of violence.
I do weighted dips every morning.
So here's Chad's apology.
So. All right, Chris wants me to kind of explain, obviously, like, some of the issues we've had in the house. Generally, I'm not here to start issues with any of you guys. And they're like, you're a good guy, I'm sure, probably. Like, I don't have an issue with you. I just want you to leave me alone. Don't push me. Like, now, we settled things, you know? I hope no one else has any issues. I mean, I hope the rest of this time here can be pretty cool, generally.
Chad, you owe me a new shirt and an apology.
Oh, my God. All right, I'll give you $20.
Yeah, it's not heartfelt. It's not heartfelt at all.
Worst apology ever.
That guy sucks. And I'm talking about Evan, the fifth element guy.
Of course you are, because sure. Chad can't suck. He's wonderful. You love him.
Sure,
no,
Chad.
No, that wasn't him, because you are Chad.
Chad sucks, too,
no,
but I'm not
going
to have misinformation spread. You're right. You guys are right. You can't run around in 2016 telling everybody you're going to rip their arms off and kill them or come to their house. You're right.
That does seem bad. Yeah.
So they all go, they leave the mansion, they get on a high, expensive jet, and they jet up to romantic Western Pennsylvania for their first trip.
Oh, the wild
romantic
what? In the wintertime.
Yes.
Is there anything better?
Nothing's more gorgeous. And they go out of there in the woods, and they're in a beautiful resort out there in the woods, and Chad is starting to seethe. He's starting to get angry.
Now, wait a minute now. He's wearing a polo and some shorts. He's got his feet in a jacuzzi. And he's talking about how you shouldn't, you know, don't come to my cave. Don't poke the bear.
He did say that.
I don't like having to get in confrontations with people, but, you know, I'm not going to start anything, but I will be the one to finish it. In other words, it's not a wise decision to poke the Chad bear.
Don't poke the Chad bear.
Oh my God. You go right to hell.
By the way, that phrase is the quintessential meathead phrase. I don't start anything, but I'll finish it. That's
yeah,
that
no,
guy.
Hey, look, I don't, you know, what are you talking about?
How many times have you said that, Petros?
You want to go?
Petros has a t-shirt that says that he walks around with.
Hey, let me jump in and ask this question, because we've seen Chad do a lot of terrible, terrible things on this show. Does JoJo see any of this, or is he a completely different person when he's around the lady?
She sees it. He already called her Naggy at one of the dates.
Whoa.
She likes the edge that he has, and I think she's into guys that have more veins than other guys.
But right. he plays some sort of faux, soft, sentimental guy when he's around her, too.
Yeah, a little bit. Remember that scene in Rambo where the Asian girl's in the truck with Rambo, and he's just killed, like, 200 guys, and she goes, "Oh, Rambo, why are you so hard?" You know? It's kind of like that with JoJo.
No.
Seen those movies. Don't remember that.
She's in awe of Rambo and how tough
gotcha.
He is.
Gotcha. All right.
So Chad doesn't start anything, but he's going to finish
he's
it.
He's going to finish
right?
it.
However, when it comes to Jordan, who, of course, is Aaron Rodgers' brother, the football player,
right?
It seems like he's starting things a little bit. He seems like he wants to start things a little
now,
bit.
Now, wait a minute. Jordan made the original comment that Chad could not spell. So he must die.
Yeah, but no, see, that's not how I see it. Jordan at this point says, because now Alex and Chad are going on a 2-on-1 date. That is the big drama.
Blair Witch in the woods.
Only one will return.
Right.
Okay. And Alex is the other Marine. They hate each other, these two guys. So the producers geniusly put them together on a date, and JoJo must pick between one of them.
I like it.
Now, Jordan's talking to the other guys and goes, I think Alex is going to go in there and talk to JoJo and let her know what this guy's really like, even before things get started. I think he's going to sort of give a preemptive strike. Well, the Chad loses his mind, and the following happens.
Jordan, you think this is a show, and you think you're safe for now. But one day this ends, and when this ends, you go home. When you go home, you think I can't find you? You think I won't go out of my way to come to your house?
Oh, my God.
I'm dead serious.
You think I'm scared of you?
I think you should be.
All right. Good woman. Tough guy.
Wow.
Please come find me.
Yeah.
Once again, Chad is being Chad.
You are all going to die tonight.
Yeah. He's a sociopath.
I will come to your house.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You're right.
Oh, you think maybe you can't do that?
you can't be 6'5 and all ripped and say you're going to come to people's house. But Jordan's hair is annoying. He's constantly touching it and all that. And I have another beef. You know, they call these two-on-one dates now. They shouldn't even call them dates anymore. Last season, they just took that Olivia girl to a Crescent Island in the Bahamas and left her.
They abandoned her on the island.
Yeah, they don't do any dating. They don't go on a Ferris wheel. They don't have dinner. There's no mariachis. They don't have Jake Bug come and sing. They just walk these people into the woods, and they dumped one of them.
She went on a hike. It was a romantic hike she went on.
Whatever.
And so they get
out. Two Marines that want to kill each other?
That's a hell of a date.
It was more Rambo than not, I guess you're right.
So, oh, Rambo, why are you so hard with other men?
So they get out there, and Alex talks to JoJo and says, listen, this morning threatened to come to Jordan's house after the show was over and hunt him down. You need to know what this guy's really about. And JoJo's like, wow, this is kind of shocking information. And then what happened is why all guys get furious with women. Because she was just told he's a murderous psychopath
right.
who is threatening Aaron Rodgers' brother with murder. He's going to murder him in his own home.
Right.
And JoJo immediately starts coming up with the excuses why it's okay. For the bad boy. Maybe he's just misunderstood.
He's been through a lot.
What? Yeah, here's what she says.
Like, I knew today was going to be tough. But just out of nowhere, I just got this, like, overwhelming feeling of emotion. And I know that, like, Chad has really messed up since he's been here. And he's rubbed people the wrong way. But, you know, I remember the fact that, you know, his mom passed away 6 months ago. And maybe, you know, maybe he's just struggling. And I don't know what to do.
Maybe he's just struggling.
Wow.
Maybe
he's just an a-hole.
Maybe the way he gets through his grief is by murdering. It's, you know, everyone has their own process.
I will say this. If Chad was a pro football player, especially a Patriot, Allie,
how dare you?
We'd be making excuses
how
for him.
How dare you?
We'd be making the same excuses for him.
So
that JoJo was just making. Maybe he's just struggling.
He's struggling.
He's struggling.
No, he's not. He's a sociopath. So finally, she has the rose in her hand. She has to choose between one or the other. And there's a moment of clarity, thank God. And she chooses Alex and sends Chad packing. And literally at home, both of my fists went in the air like the Eagles just scored a touchdown in the NFC Championship game when that happened. I was so thrilled. But Chad was not as thrilled.
Oh, really?
His reaction to being sent home was one of disbelief initially. He went through the five stages of death pretty much in one sentence.
Okay.
He thinks she's lying because he can tell she really does love him, which made me feel a little creepy. He's like, no, you're wrong. You're crazy about me. And then he goes right back to threatening violence, which is what he does. Here's the final moments of Chad.
Is this, like, am I getting pranked right now? Wow. That's crazy. She's fake because I can tell the way she talked to me. I can tell the way she looked at me and the way she felt about me. She's either an actress or she's a complete There's only two options. I'm pissed. Alex lied. No, he told her I threatened people. And you know what? Now I gotta go find Alex.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Alex lied. He told her I threatened people. You know what? Now I gotta go find Alex.
That's a threat! That is a threat! Well, he learned his lesson.
He did go around threatening everybody.
Let me ask you guys a question. Aren't you going to be less interested in this show because Chad isn't there?
Well, guess what, Kevin?
He's the new Bachelor.
Chad is not not there.
What?
What? Because at the end of last night's episode, we see him lurking through the woods.
No!
What?
What do you mean?
It's all set up. There's a camera and a sound guy and craft services following him through the woods.
And he shows up. When you get bounced from the two-on-one date, they pick up your bag. It's already packed. You go on a plane.
Right.
Not Chad. He's going back to the house.
They let him.
To confront the other guys.
That's awesome.
And you see him just, like, slowly wrapping his fingers on the window of the front door.
That was
pretty sweet. That was awesome.
You see him, like, black paint on his face.
And Chad has this thing where he goes... Whenever he's really psychotic,
right.
He does this whistle over and over again.
No.
All right.
He's
like a character from a horror movie.
The best part, though, was right after she dumped him, her and Alex got out of there faster than the Kate Spear family left their house.
Yes.
I mean, they got out of the woods.
Right. It's like it was the countdown to The Purge, and they were trying to get inside. That's how quickly they moved.
But they're going to let him sit there and confront the guys one more time so they can get another 10. They've gotten at least 6 hours plus now out of this one a-hole. I mean, they've gotten a lot out of him, but you're right. The show's not going to be as good, except all these guys are going to go in on each other now because Chad's gone, and they had somebody to go against. You know what it's like at work when everybody hates one guy?
Sure,
yeah, I do.
Gone, and then you all start hating each other again.
Yeah, I sure know about that.
More importantly, we'll finally get to see guys there for the right reason, and we'll watch Love Blossom.
Right?
Wouldn't that be nice?
That's what we're all hoping
That's
for.
That's what I'm hoping
for. Right.
All right, listen, we're out of time, guys, so no Bachelorette next week? Is that what I'm understanding?
No Bachelorette next week.
Basketball?
I don't have to come in.
It returns on the 20th. June 20th is the return of the Bachelorette. Monday, June 20th.
I think it's because of NBA Finals, maybe. That's why there's no Bachelorette.
That's what if we those can are
see.
Over?
That's what we can see Chad kill.
Exactly. All right, MP, thanks so much for the time. Ralph, great job. Chad, we'll miss you.
Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on the Bachelorette. Ow!
Need to fly a drone.
Right?
Who needs to do that more than me?
Sounds like fun. Hey, welcome to Kevin and Beecher on a Wednesday morning. I can't believe I did the research. It's been almost 4 years since Donald Faison was last in studio here on the Kevin and Beecher. That's a travesty, you
that
guys.
That is a travesty.
That's outrageous.
Do you not like us?
No, I love you guys. I just don't understand how that's possible. I feel like I was here last year.
I did, too. I thought it was like a couple of years, maybe. But you were here when you were doing X's, and now you are back with a new show debuting on the Game Show Channel tomorrow night called Winsanity. Please welcome Donald Faison back.
Yeah! Thank you for having me. Standing ovation, you guys.
So, Donald, you are an actor.
I am an actor. I like to think I'm an actor.
Very different set of skills than being a game show host. Was this something that was a tough adjustment for you?
Yeah, you know, it was a lot of rehearsal, and it was a lot of rehearsal in front of the network, too, so, which is very nerve-wracking.
They just sit in the front with their arms crossed?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what they do. And we did it inside like of a board, inside of a boardroom, so we rehearsed in a boardroom with a bunch of suits.
Wow. that could not be a worse plan. Why would they do that to you?
Just to get me ready.
Wow. Did they audition a bunch of people for this show, Insanity?
I don't think so. They offered it to me, actually. I didn't have to audition for it, which was dope. But I do believe that if I thought if I didn't make it out of the boardroom, I'm not going to do the show. And when I made it out of the boardroom, I was like, all right, we're flying. We're going to do this.
You know, it's so funny because there are so many television hosts, but the ones who are the best, you know, the Jeff Probst or, you know, Steve Harvey, he does his game shows, are the ones that they're just so comfortable and confident and in the moment. And you can't see the wheels turning with how many things they've got going on at one time.
Right.
That's the hard thing about doing that job is keeping all the rules straight and knowing what you're doing up there every minute.
Yeah, you also have somebody in your ear helping you out, too, which is great. You know what I mean?
It's great, but can also be distracting.
Absolutely. You look like a crazy person. You know what I mean? You look like you're talking to yourself on a stage with a bunch of people in the audience looking at you. But
What's it like for you playing in front of a live audience, too?
It's awesome. This is the first time I've ever been myself in front of a live audience. You know what I mean? Like, usually I'm a character in front of a live studio audience. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This time I'm myself. And that's... you know, it's different. It's, you know, I think that's why that's why people should tune in. If you're a fan of my work, this is your opportunity to get to know me.
Winsanity, it's a brand new game show. People don't know how this is played.
Right. Do you want to play a round?
Well, explain it to us. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Let's see. It depends on how foolish it's going to make us look.
Right.
Well, it won't make you look foolish. But it's pretty much I give you 10 numerical facts, and you place them in order from lowest to highest, right?
Okay. So it's kind of like how they do on The Price is Right, where you have to put the items in order of what's the most expensive to the cheapest. You're doing it
sort
with numbers, right?
Yeah, you're doing it with numbers, but the facts that I give you are like across the board. They're, you know, they range from, you know, like if we were to play right now, the number of baseballs used in a Major League Baseball season, that's a numerical fact.
Okay.
Or the number of miles the average American lives from Walmart.
And you have to get the number on the nose?
No, you don't have to get. All you have to do is put it in a round, in the ballpark.
Well, so let's do it then. So if those two are in the game, for instance, as an example, we know that the number of baseballs is higher than the number of miles that people live from Walmart. So that's a pretty easy setup, right?
Right. And then I'll give you one more, and I'll say the number of Heinz ketchup packets sold worldwide each year. And so those would be the three. Those are three facts, and you have to stack them in order from lowest to highest.
Ketchup's most.
Okay. I'd say so, too.
Okay.
And then, baseball's the second.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's say ketchup, baseball, Walmart.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And you guys would be correct.
Yeah.
And you're off to the next round. Oh, let's do this.
Do we win a car?
You don't win a car.
Come on!
Not yet.
But the thing that's different about this is you're playing with the audience. So you win, they win. You lose,
they lose.
They hate you so much.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have security to escort the person out to protect them. You know, not to make sure they get off the lot, but to protect them from the audience.
Oh, the show just got so much better.
Yeah, yeah. I just want one day for somebody from the audience to be like, ah!
And just rush the stage. Let me hit that car so bad. Let me ask you this question, Donald. And I don't think I've ever asked a game show host this, but you see it on so many shows whenever the audience speaks up. Like, you know, you're watching Let's Make a Deal or something like that. The audience always has an opinion on what the contestant whose decision it is on stage, what they should do.
Right.
Do you find that the audience is usually right when they start hooping and hollering about what the contestant should do, or are they often wrong?
They're often wrong. Like, there are people in the audience that just want to be on television.
Oh,
so
no.
They're yelling whatever. So we should not listen to the audience if they're screaming at us and we're the one on stage making the choice?
Well, you're the one making the choice. You have total autonomy. So why would you give your power away to someone who stood up and said, I think you're wrong. Why do you think I'm wrong? I'm just saying, I think you're wrong.
I mean, I guess the reason you do it is you feel like there's 400 people in the audience. They know something you don't, so you kind of are hoping
now,
for the crowd mentality.
If you don't know the answer, then maybe you're looking for anything that might help you.
Well, it's happened on our show where someone actually didn't know the answer. The question was like, how many on a Ben and Jerry waffle cone, how many squares are there? And that's like, I don't know that. And I don't even know the ballpark.
I don't know how anyone would know that.
Well, someone in the audience raised their hand and they were like, I worked at Ben and Jerry's. And for like a year, my job was waffle cones. And I'm going to be honest with you. I had to count it because I was so bored making waffle cones.
What are the chances that person's in the audience that day that question is asked?
I don't know, man.
And were they right?
They were
so
right.
So funny if he was lying.
Right?
That would have been great.
He's like, suck it. I worked at 31 Flavors.
Right. And there were people that did lie, though. There were people
really?
That were on the show that was like, I'm a meteorologist. That's how I know.
Oh.
And you're like,
what? That's funny.
Well, the show is a lot of fun, you guys. It's called Win Sanity, and it debuts on the Game Show Network tomorrow night at 9 p.m. The host of that show, Donald Faison, is our guest in studio. More with him in just a moment right after this on K-Rock. I would put down my money for a pay-per-view to hear Ali and Donald discuss it, though. I'll tell you that. Donald Faison is here on the Kevin and Bean Show, perhaps best known for his 9 years on Scrubs, but in Remember the Titans and Uptown Girls and so many other things in movies and TV shows and a bunch of music videos. And I don't think we ever asked you about that, Donald. How have you ended up in like a dozen music videos?
I don't know. I'm friends with a couple of people that are in the music industry, I guess. And, you know, it's all favors. I've never been paid to be in a music video. And I know people get paid to be in music videos.
Right. The smart ones do, yeah.
I guess I'm really dumb. I'm really dumb, man.
So like Fallout Boy just calls you and says, hey, we got a role for you and Beat It. Come on down.
So I know Pete and he said, come down and be in a video. And I said, okay, yeah, sure.
Everybody from Brandy to Matchbox 20 to Ingrid Michaelson. You were in that video with Wiz and ASAP Ferg. I mean, it's crazy how many you've done. I mean, that's weird.
Wait, I don't know if I was in with Wiz and ASAP Ferg.
That was a DJ Wu Kid video that they were also in.
Oh, yeah, I did do
more
the
champagne.
That's right, man. And I played like a Bond villain or something like that.
What a bizarre career you have.
Are you the go-to guy where people go, okay, we need somebody for our music video. You know what? Donald Faison.
Yeah, let's go with him. We need somebody for free.
And he doesn't charge.
Yeah, let's call Donald. He'll do it for free.
How was Drunk History for you last year?
Oh,
I had a great time doing it.
You were Joe Louis, right?
I was Joe Louis. So Joe Louis, I guess, was one of the faces of a all-black casino in Vegas. Back when segregation was really big, and he was on a horse. with a white...
of course.
You know, of course, right. With a white suit and a cowboy hat. And they were like, you know, it was called the Moulin Rouge. And yeah. And so I was... Yeah.
So that's what you did that day is got put on a white suit and a cowboy hat and jumped on a horse. You
they thought, didn't put me on the horse. I was hoping for the horse. No horse that day.
What a ripoff.
Yeah, it was a ripoff. But Drunk History is dope.
Look, Drunk History is something that we love. We've had the guys in a bunch, and they did promise Bean, who has never – he doesn't drink.
Right.
Never touched alcohol.
He said, oh, I have a great story. I'll do it. And they said, oh, okay. Yeah, we'll consider it. And Bean took that as a yes.
Right.
So Bean's feelings are hurt now because they don't want anything to do with
it. But you've never had a sip of alcohol before, right?
Yeah. I've never. We had a Guinness with Bono one time when he was on our show, but I'm not a drinker at all.
Not to drop names.
And I've never been but I point that out to say extraordinary circumstances. Have I had a sip? Yes. I can't claim
it's
never
touched. We had champagne with Obama, but other than that.
But no, I've never been drunk. That's why we all thought it would be a hilarious episode. And who knows? They may come back for another season. Maybe they'll ask me, but I'd love to be on it.
A kamikaze with the Pope.
No.
Wow. I don't know. I'm just trying to drop names.
How come out of all of the shows that are constantly being rebooted for Netflix and coming back in other forms, how come there's never been any talk of Scrubs returning?
I don't know. I think, Disney owns Scrubs. And,
redoing it, Bean? Because
I mean bringing the cast back with
yeah,
her. Do it again like they did with, you know, Full House and so many other shows.
Well, how many years did it take for them to bring Fuller House back to Full?
A lot.
Right? Yeah. Long time, yeah.
So like 20 years from now, maybe we do another Scrubs.
Well, I like that you and Zach Braff are still like best friends. Just pictures all over your Instagrams together.
Yeah.
That warms my heart.
Does it?
It does.
Right on.
It makes me believe that people that are so good... The chemistry of you two on that show is real.
It was
real. You couldn't fake that.
No, you couldn't fake that. From day one, meeting him, we've been pretty tight. We had a good relationship. We have a good relationship. He still is my best friend. He's the godfather to my wife and I's two children. So,
Is that a good choice?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
He's
got a lot of money. So if I go, I know my kids will go to the best boarding school money can buy.
Does he remember you when he's making Zach Braff movies, though?
You know, he asked me. I remember this is a true story. He asked me to be in Garden State, and I said no. And Method Man wound up doing it instead. And then, so this time I was like, when he did Wish I Was Here, he was like, do you want to be in it this time? And I was like, absolutely. And then he just recently directed a movie, and he didn't put me in it. And I haven't spoken to him since.
Oh, this is getting ugly right now.
You brought it up.
That's
Well, I spoke to him. I've seen that. But he didn't put me in the movie. And, you know.
But it's
so insanity.
Yeah, let's get back to something. We're really happy.
You know who's not going to be on that show? Zach Braff.
No,
right,
never.
Right, man.
I will never work with him again unless, he's paying me good.
With Sanity, by the way, if you missed the first segment, is Donald Faison's new TV show. He is hosting a game show on the Game Show Network that debuts tomorrow night at 9. It's really, really – it's a super fun show to play along with at home because, as you heard in the examples, it's stuff you can guess if you don't know.
Well, actually, you can play along at home. You can go to winsanitylive.com, play along, and win along.
What?
So, yeah, all you have to do is register at winsanitylive.com. That's winsanitylive.com. And you play along with the show, and you actually can win the prizes on the show.
Oh, wow.
That is, I'm surprised that they could have something like that, because what's to stop somebody who was there to see the taping from playing along at home now that they've already seen the show live? When it airs, they already know all the answers.
That's true. You're absolutely right. I didn't think about that, and I don't think they thought about it either.
All right, well, get ready to give away a lot of prizes then.
That's
people playing at home, I guess.
Hey, listen. You can do it.
We have to give away 35 cards today.
Right, yeah.
Somebody should have seen this coming.
How many episodes did you shoot, Donald?
We shot 40 episodes.
All right, and they start tomorrow night.
Yes, at 9 the Game Show Network. Back-to-back, two shows back-to-back.
Oh, cool. And how many episodes in will you know whether you've got a hit or not?
Wow. That's a good question.
Because you're waiting for that call to come back for Make More, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm guessing after episode maybe 4 or 5 and we see where we're at.
Okay. How long did it take to do 40 episodes?
Almost. That's pretty close, actually.
What?
Something like a week and a half.
It's insane what they just pile
First of all,
in.
That's a crazy week and a half.
Yeah.
But then the rest of the year is pretty cool.
And then, right. But, yeah, then you're off, you know what I mean? And you're sitting at home, and you're like, I need another job!
It's a lot of suits, though. A lot of suits bringing in.
Well, that's the great thing about the show. I don't have to wear a suit in every episode.
Yeah, you look comfortable and casual. All
right. Yeah. It's a fun atmosphere. It's not stuffy.
Well, it's a really good show, Donald. Congratulations.
Thank you so
much. As I said when you sat in, you are an excellent host, and
that is not a
necessarily transferable skill from acting, but you're very fun to watch, and it's a fun show. And I want to give a shout out to your announcer and cohort on the show, Kira Sultanovich, who we also love and had on the show a couple of times.
Kira.
She's hilarious on
that
show.
She's awesome,
too.
Dude. Yeah. Well, she's hilarious in life, period.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She'll make you laugh after knowing her for less than 30 seconds. She'll be like, hi, I'm Kira. Here's an amusing anecdote, and you're on the floor rolling.
Check it out. Winsanity is tomorrow night on the Game Show Network at 9 o'clock. Don't miss it. Mr. Faison, let's not make it so long next time. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, guys.
You bet.
This city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr. Yes. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Enough, I get the point.
What's better than Ghostbusters, you guys? Come on.
I can't think of anything.
Nothing. Right? 32 years ago today.
Meatballs, right there with me.
Meatballs, another good one. Yeah. Animal House, Stripes. I can't believe Ivan Reitman, a part of all of those films. He'll be joining us.
Stripes alone, right?
If he did Stripes, you put him on the Mount Rushmore of comedy.
It's all you need. Right? It's all you need. Anyway, what a thrill, what an honor, Mr. Reitman will be joining us coming up right after 8. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday.
Sacha Baron Cohen, we talked about him last hour, that he's making Mandrake the Magician. He's a very busy guy. 2 new projects, apparently, he's also working on. He is also rebooting the classic. Speaking of classic comedies, Cannonball Run. Remember Cannonball Run?
Sure.
Burt Reynolds, Dom DeLuise. Captain Chaos! Nothing? Nothing's ringing any bells?
Yeah, I remember that.
Which I think is an interesting choice, really. Because those movies were only kind of fun because Burt Reynolds would get together with his friends and they would, like, goof off. They weren't particularly good films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And they were about a race. And Lord knows, we need another car race film.
It was a race that no one cared about.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I just thought that was interesting. Sad news. I remember actress Teresa Saldana from The Commish and other films and television shows. She left show business in 2004, and apparently she has passed away.
Oh no.
Yeah. She sort of... famously survived an attack from a deranged fan. I don't know if you remember this in the 80s. There was a big story about her being stalked by a fan and was stabbed by that fan. A delivery man at her apartment, luckily was there at the time, came to her rescue and was able to call authorities. So,
Because of her, all the stalking laws were introduced.
That's right. So she was 61 years old, passed away from an undisclosed illness. But that's kind of sad news. I thought she was a really nice lady and a talented actress. Anybody watch Bobby Brown last night on 2020?
I taped it,
I
saw some of the clips. Wow.
You didn't watch him?
No. Speaking of ghosts.
I was playing poker.
What's your prerogative? You can watch or not watch. I'm not going to come down on you or not. Allie, don't be cruel. I'm just doing a story here.
I see what you're doing.
I don't think you do. He's got a new book out. New autobiography. And he claims in the book that he carried on a torrid affair with Janet Jackson.
Really?
Nope.
Nope. He was cheating on his girlfriend, Kim Ward, at the time when they hooked up.
I'm glad he put that in the book.
Yeah, that's nice. And he said things came to an ugly end after Janet told him that her father, Joe, would never allow her to date a black man.
Huh.
Huh.
Bobby says at that point he promptly pushed her out of the hotel room while she was completely naked. He's a good fellow, Bobby Brown.
Good dude.
He's
good
a nice
dude.
Man. You know, if you're writing the autobiography, maybe, I don't know, leave out some details that make you sound like an a-hole.
Right.
Or not.
And he killed his wife and his daughter, right?
Oh, come on now.
Well, someone did.
You're bumming me out, dude.
Yeah. You're not helping.
And if you want to check out BET's Salute to Prince, boy, this sounds good. June 26th is the BET Awards, and they have announced that they were less than impressed with Madonna's tribute to Prince at the Billboard Music Awards.
Really? Because everybody else loved it.
They were nonplussed. No. So they're putting together their own, and it sounds a little bit more appropriate. The Roots, first of all.
Great.
Philly's own The Roots, yeah, by the
that's
way.
That's a good choice.
Made it in spite of Philadelphia.
No, because right? of Philadelphia.
Yeah. All right.
D'Angelo, Janelle Monáe, and then Sheila E. is also taking part. So
great choices.
Maybe they are great choices. I think it's going to be a cool event. Today's celebrity birthdays. Maria Menounos is 38 years old today. Juliana Margulies celebrates her 50th birthday. Frank Grillo, 51 years old. And Kanye West.
Because baby, I'm awesome.
He's awesome.
Awesome.
He's also awesome.
I'm also awesome.
Also awesome.
Y'all know.
Y'all know. He is 39 years old today.
I saw someone tweeted this morning that Kanye is probably celebrating the sun making its 39th trip around him today.
Zing! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Give me a little bit of the best movie theme of all time, would you please, Kevin, as we remind you once again that today is Ghostbusters Day. It was 32 years ago on this date, June 8th, back in 1984. The original film came out. We couldn't be more excited to welcome the man who directed and produced that film and also is producing the new one coming out July 15th. Ivan Reitman is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi,
how
everybody.
Are you, sir?
Thank you. Happy birthday.
To you as well. You know, we started today's show, Mr. Reitman, with me asking the question, is June 8th always Ghostbusters Day, or is it a new thing that we're just now experiencing this year for the first time?
It's a uniquely first time ever, thanks to the new Ghostbusters movie that's coming out.
Why right? did it July take so 15th. Long to celebrate the original? When was that, 84?
1984, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yes, we actually just covered that, Kevin.
Right, but I'm saying, I know that it's new but because of the new one, but I'm saying, why did no one do that before?
At least on the 20th
right.
or the 25th, it should have been a huge
That's
celebration.
That's what I'm saying.
What is yeah. wrong with the world is what Kevin's saying.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Mr. Reitman. So
there's no answer to that.
No. Okay.
The script is already written by Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd, and they bring it to you to make? Is that how it all started for you?
No, in fact.
No, tell me. Great.
Dan Aykroyd had written a 70-page treatment for Belushi and himself. And then, unfortunately, Belushi had too many drugs and died, and he was not able to do that. And he tried to find somebody else to make the film with, and he thought, you know, Bill Murray was coming along. Maybe Danny should do it with Bill. And I had already done Stripes and Meatballs with Bill, so I guess Danny came to me and said, look, will you read this? You think it could work with Billy? And I read it. It takes place in the future, many groups of Ghostbusters fighting literally hundreds of ghosts. And I said, I'd like to do this because it's got a brilliant idea in it. That the idea that there's regular guys who work mostly like, you know, firemen and catch ghosts, but I think it should take place here on Earth. And I sit down with him and I lay out really the story as it's told in the first movie, which is a bunch of guys get thrown out of their, out of their student jobs and start this new company.
They have no idea what to do, so they just come up with that.
Yeah. Harold Ramis, I said to Danny, look, let's bring Harold on because I'd worked with him starting with Animal House, and I thought it would be a great combination. The three of us really wrote it together, and we went to Martha's Vineyard July 4th weekend, 1983, spent, I think, about 2 or 3 weeks, knocked out basically the version that you see on screen. And really, I started pre-production immediately with this sort of half-assed script, and we kept sort of reworking it in pre-production and started shooting in October, and it was out the following June.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Especially amazing now when we see how long it takes to make movies. That was probably a tiny budget compared to what would become the norm in years afterwards, right?
Yeah, I remember right after Stripes, I was called into the head of the studio's office, and he said, so what do you want to do? And I literally pitched slightly better than I just did on the air what Ghostbusters was going to be, and it was really just – the result of this conversation I had with Dan at lunch. And he said, okay, we'll do it. And how much do you think it'll cost? And I had made stripes, I think, for $10 million. And I said, well, maybe if I had three times as much money, I should be able to do that. So I just threw out $30 million. Look, there was no script, no budget, no nothing. And he said, all right, $30 million, but you have to have it ready for June 8th, 1984, you know, which was
wow.
Like 13 months from them. From that moment, because this was in May 1983.
Were you shocked that he said yes to $30 million that quickly?
Should I have asked for 35?
No, I don't know. I'm saying, yeah, if he's going to agree to anything immediately, he should have said 50.
No, because, you know, frankly, you try to make films for the most modest amount that you can. Because,
and remember, you're the producer, Ivan, so you don't want to spend a lot of money.
Well, you want to be able to make future money beyond your salary, and so you have to keep costs at a reasonable place. And frankly, I thought $30 million was a ton of money.
Yeah,
I had never made a film more than 10. The film before Meatballs was $1.5 million, so I thought, wow, we should be good.
What'd you end up spending to make Ghostbusters? Was 30 a pretty good guess?
Yeah, we spent exactly $30 million.
That's another thing that never happens.
Right. I saw the movie again recently, and of course, it's hard to find a day where it's not playing somewhere on TV. But and I was surprised. Look, some of the special effects would be done differently today, but a lot of the things, like the cards flying up in the New York Public Library out of the card catalog and stuff like that, were really kind of neat effects. And I mean,
thank you.
Yeah, but you had some pretty creative people to pull all that stuff off, because there's a lot of moving parts in a film like Ghostbusters.
We had a spectacular mechanical effects person. And he had a team of about 20 guys. And we did an amazing amount using compressed air, believe it or not, including the card catalog, where, you know, it was done live. So the actors walked through those cards, were surprised naturally by them. It was like a spectacular effect. My son Jason, who's now a filmmaker, actually was just talking about this in some interview, and he said, he remembered going when he was, I think he was 4 years old when we were shooting it, and he was sitting behind the camera with me, and he said, wow, that's great. Can you do it again? And we had to pick up literally, you know, 10,000 card catalogs. We did the thing, I think, two or three times, as I remember.
That's amazing.
Suddenly, like 40 guys run out on the, and we did it live at the Los Angeles Public Library. We shot a lot of the big scenes in New York at the public library there. And then things like the card catalog scene we shot right here in L.A.
Interesting.
Wow.
Is it true that the script was massaged even up till sometimes minutes before you were filming the dialogue? You guys were still rewriting that script along the way?
Up to while we were shooting.
Was there some ad-libbing on the set, Ivan?
One thing I learned when I started working with Bill Murray, I'm talking about, you know, on Meatballs. And it was really both of our first movies. And, you know, I had this script that was pretty good, and, you know, which he immediately would sort of tear up the morning of each day's shooting. And I quickly learned that I could either insist on going with what was written, or I could sort of, you know, work with the genius in the room. And
there are so many people that would say, stick to the script.
No, well, my job was to be very not just flexible, but really nimble, and also learn how to take what was this brilliant improv and really focus it on the story that we were doing, and not just, and that became even more kind of my technique. And by the time we got to Ghostbusters, where you have a room full of geniuses, you know, doing funny stuff, it's focusing all of them so that it was working for the story, working for the characters, you know. And I got, you know, we were shooting on film, not on digital, where the mm-hmm. people just leave the camera running. So I was really cognizant, oh my God, we only have so much footage in the in the camera at any
right,
one time,
right.
So you have to move really quickly.
This is the voice of Ivan Reitman here on The Kevin Bean Show. He is the producer of the new Ghostbusters movie coming out on July 15th, which we will talk about right now. We're reminiscing about the original Ghostbusters from 32 years ago today. Is it true, as legend has passed along through the decades, Ivan, that the cross the streams idea was one of those that you guys kind of came up with on the fly? It wasn't in the original script about how to end it and solve the problem at the end of the movie.
I hate to tell you this, but I can't remember. But, you know, I vaguely remember talking about crossing the streams way back at in Martha's Vineyard. Really, the critical issues of the, you know, story points of the film were started there. But the great thing about that this Ghostbusters is that so many people contributed. Sigourney Weaver, when she came in to audition, said to me suddenly, you know, I think Dana, her character, you know, should be possessed too, and I should become a dog. And then she got on my coffee table, you know, on all fours, and started howling like a dog and sort of did this remarkable audition. And I remember as soon as she left, I said, wow, she's got to be it. I called up Harold Ramis. I said, Harold, you know, Sigourney Weaver, you know, Year of Living Dangerously, an alien. I said, yeah, she just got on my coffee table, and she talked about being possessed. I think it's kind of a good idea. Let's go work on that. And, you know, the whole last act suddenly shifted.
Wow.
What a weird job you have, Ivan.
Yes.
How did the Ghostbusters theme song come about with Ray Parker Jr. recording it? Do you remember? Did you have anything to do with that?
Yeah, well, as the director and producer, you have a lot to do with stuff.
Okay, all right.
But the I was having the hardest time finding just the right song to fit the montage in the film. And the one song that that kept working rhythmically but made absolutely no sense lyrically was Huey Lewis's I Got a New Drug. Mm-hmm. And so I used that song as kind of a
like
cutting
a
tool.
A template or something?
A template. Thank you for the word.
Uh-huh.
And the and I kept getting, you know, meeting with different acts and composers to try to come up with something. And finally, literally while we were mixing the film, the final mix, Ray Parker comes in and he said, yeah, I got it. I think I got it. And I have a really good lyric idea, which finally came from the film itself. It came from that, from the ad, the mock advertising,
right.
The television ad that we did in the
film.
We
are ready to believe you.
Well, it was who you going to call. It was
right.
Really
no, I know that,
a line right from that script, and he just sat on that. We got sued by Huey Lewis, by the way, after that, because he heard that we had used it as a template, and the studio, you know, the movie had just opened. It was extraordinarily successful all through the summer of 1984, and we had this monster HBO deal, and because we hit templates on the numbers that were going to bring in so much money to HBO, from HBO to Columbia, that they said, look, we can't be injuncted. We've got to get this film. We have to allow for it. So they settled for quite a lot of money with Huey Lewis. And I'm really happy because, you know, whether he knows it or not, he had a lot to do with how we cut that scene.
What worked out well. Yeah, it sounds like everybody wins. All right, a quick break. Mr. Ivan Reitman is here on the Kevin Bean Show talking all things Ghostbusters, including the 2016 edition, when we return right after this on K-Rock.
There's something very important I forgot to tell you.
What?
Don't cross the streams.
Why?
It would be bad.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good-bad thing. What do you mean bad?
Try to imagine all life as you know it stopping instantaneously and every molecule in your body exploding at the speed of light.
Total protonic reversal.
All right, that's bad. Okay. All right, important safety tip. Thanks, Igor.
I need to see it again, and I need to see it again right now.
Ivan, let me ask you this question. Were you guys aware while you were making the movie that there would be so many lines that people would quote forever? You know, okay, so she's a dog. We were just talking about that scene before. And
back off, man. Back I'm off, a scientist. I
mean, back off, man. I'm a scientist.
I mean, were you aware of any of that kind of stuff that it would stick?
We were just aware that we were making a funny movie. There was a lot of confidence in the film. I remember, and I've spoken about this many times, that the first time I saw them in their full regalia, their uniforms and equipment, walking down Madison Avenue, and it was really before... It was kind of a pre-production shoot. I was just trying to get some extra shots in for the montage. And it was really the first time I saw them for real on a real street in New York. And I don't know. I just had this feeling like something special was about to happen.
Wow.
I have the shiver right now.
Yeah.
And are there movies that you work on that you do not feel that?
Many.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
How
I'd like to say every film I've ever worked on had that shiver thing, but no.
How big did Ghostbusters get? How much money? And how does it compare in terms of the biggest comedies of all time, if you know?
Well, it was it was the biggest comedy of all time the year that it came out, and it supplanted Animal House, which before that was the biggest comedy of all time.
Look at you, little Mr. Number One guy.
And, you know, it's been easily supplanted. It got knocked off, I think, by Beverly Hills Cop. Uh-huh. Literally, it's because the box office figures really started to ramp up because they raised prices, many theaters at once. And, you know, it would be the equivalent of a kind of a billion-dollar comedy right now.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Well, you know, it was number one every single week of the summer of 1984, except for one week. I remember about the eighth or ninth week, Clint Eastwood came out with a really good movie.
Son of a bitch. Knocked us out,
and then literally the next week we were number one again.
Well, it certainly has been a beloved comedy for the last 32 years. What are your memories of Ghostbusters 2?
We waited too long to make it. I think we were all unsure of exactly what to do. I wish I knew then what I know today, but, you know, I think we were...
How would it be different if you knew then what you know today?
I would have told kind of a different kind of story. I think that I decided to go very human. And when I look at it right now, I'm really proud of the movie. It came out up against the first Batman, the Tim Burton Batman.
Okay, not ideal.
And it was... That was a mistake. You know, the whole zeitgeist of the country shifted to something much blacker. And here comes this very optimistic, funny movie. And, you know, people sort of crapped all over it. And then in retrospect now, after years, people are seeing it for what it is. And, you know, the work between Sigourney and Bill are some of the best that they've both done together. And there's some really cool stuff in it. Janosch, the villain, I think, is an extraordinarily... Peter McNichol, such a good actor.
He's so
such
good.
A great actor, yeah. So in the 90s and 2000s, there are various incarnations of Ghostbusters. An animated series happens and some other things. But how long ago did you guys start talking about, hey, now it's time to give it another big screen treatment?
I think 4 or 5 years ago, Harold, Danny, and I... Because we basically controlled Ghostbusters with Bill, the four of us. Mm-hmm. It was a goofy deal to do that sequel where we were left strangely in control, even though Columbia technically owned the property. And it couldn't be made without all of us agreeing unanimously, which made it impossible.
Yeah,
because,
difficult.
You know, we had this sort of wild genius, Bill Murray, who didn't really want to do anything, particularly not another Ghostbusters at this moment in his career. So... but we started talking about it about 4 years ago. I was going to direct it, and we worked on a couple of scripts, one of which, you know, the studio immediately greenlit, loved it. And it was the Passing the Torch movie that everyone says this should be, the new Paul Feig movie should be. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, Bill wouldn't even read the script for about a year.
Really?
I don't think he ever really read the script. He may have read the first 20 pages in which he dies, and
hey,
literally
spoiler alert.
It was a really good script. Anyway, and then unfortunately, you know, Harold got really sick and then passed away about 2 years ago. And
what a terrible, terrible loss that was.
Terrible loss. And it was
for the world.
Terrible personal loss.
Yeah, of course.
And professional loss. And I decided at that moment, I said, you know, this is going to be too tough. I can't do it without Harold. I certainly can't do it. I can't push this big rock up the mountain and get Bill in somehow.
Especially
involved.
With Bill on the top pushing it back down.
So, you know, we decided. And about that time, we went out and started listening to other people, other directors with ideas. And Paul Feig really came up with an intriguing idea, which was, you know, let's just tell the story all over again. Mm-hmm. Which I wasn't sure if I agreed with. That was sort of the greatest point of contention. But I loved his idea of making the Ghostbusters women and focusing it that way. And it felt very fresh. I think most of the male actors were too frightened to really step into Bill's and Danny's and Harold's and Ernie's.
And rightfully so.
And rightfully so, yeah.
Footsteps. So where this was a great opportunity for the funniest women. And that's really what this new movie is.
Let's talk about that just for a second, because as soon as it was announced that it was going to be all women, I thought, oh, no, gimmick. That was my first reaction. And then I saw the trailer, the first trailer, and it was less than impressive. Having said that, I love Kristen Wiig, and I love Melissa McCarthy, and all of the people in it I love. And then you start seeing the second and the third, and it looks like it's much more funny, and it's great. What about all of the backlash that is happening on the new Ghostbusters movie?
Well, it's very hard to sometimes to make a trailer that properly represents a movie
I
like
imagine
Ghostbusters.
That's impossible.
Part of the problem is not, oh, this line's funny or that line's not funny. It's there's people have invested so much of their youth
right.
in certain movies, one of which is Ghostbusters. You know, and it became this beloved movie in much the way The Wizard of Oz. And I don't mean to make those kinds of comparisons, but in terms of what's happened culturally with Ghostbusters, there was this sort of sense of protectiveness amongst at least part of the audience, and it's very hard to get the weight of that film that's in our head out and explained in 2.5 minutes or 1.5 minutes.
Right.
And I think that was part of the problem with that very first trailer.
You had to be shocked and surprised by the crazy overreaction to it.
Well, we had like literally 80 million, that's a real number, people see the film in its first weekend and online. And, you know, 96% of the response was very positive. But there was this really vehement 4 or 5% that wanted to kill us for making the film.
Which is what the internet does.
Unfortunately, and fortunately, because the word does get out quickly both ways. All I can say is I knew we were in good shape when we screened 2 days ago, finally, the movie for Bill, toughest audience
wow.
in the world, and Dan Aykroyd and Annie Potts and Ernie Hudson. And they stood up and applauded. They just laughed through the whole thing. And just they were on Kimmel. They're on tonight, actually.
Yes, it airs tonight.
Because they just literally had just seen it, and they were totally knocked out. Thank God.
Well, I think that forget any talk of male or female. You have some of the funniest people in the world in your movie right now. That's the short version of the story here is Leslie Jones kills it. Kate McKinnon is great. Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy. I mean, it's an unbelievable cast.
Thank you. I totally agree with you. And what gave me confidence going into it was I remember who Bill Murray was when we started making this film and who Dan Aykroyd was and who Ernie Hudson and Harold. You know, the two of them had not really been in much. Bill had been in a couple of really funny movies, thank God. And Danny had been in one or two as well, which is very equivalent to where these four women are in their lives today.
Right.
And you know, I'm very proud of this new movie, and I think they do a spectacular job. You fall in love with them, and they have their own particular characters that are as indelible as the four guys were in the 1984 movie.
Well, I can't wait. You can see the new cast and the old cast along with Ivan tonight on the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show on ABC. And the film opens up everywhere on July 15th. We are very much excited and looking forward to that. Ivan, it's such an honor to meet you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in. I hope that we can do this again. You're welcome anytime on the Kevin Meacher. Thanks so much for coming
in. I'd love to be here. By the way, the movie Ghostbusters, 1984 Ghostbusters, is out. I think in theaters today and Sunday. Yeah, I think all over the country in honor of Ghostbusters Day. I think we're going to be showing the studio in about 700 theaters everywhere.
Yeah, 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. each day on
That's
today
fantastic.
And Sunday, June 12th.
Cool.
That's very cool. Thank you for coming in. We really do appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Minutes away, by the way, for more tickets for Weezer and Panic at the Disco. They're playing, what's the name of that venue, Allie, where they're playing? I don't remember what it's called down there.
It's
Irvine.
Irvine Meadows.
Irvine Meadows, what though?
There's a third word.
It used to be Verizon Wireless.
Right.
What's
it called now? Irvine Meadows, what?
Irvine Meadows.
Amphitheater. Amphitheater.
She still can't say it, kids.
I hate it.
Sure, that's it.
August 6th is the show, and you qualify to see the bands and more at the Summer Sonic Festival in Tokyo. Speaking of Japan, Kevin, have you ever been to Japan?
I have not, and I would love to.
Yeah. Allie, how about you?
I have not and would love to as well.
Me too. I have not made it to
Japan.
We should all go together.
We're doing the show in Tokyo, you guys.
He would be so huge there.
I would be Godzilla. Oh.
He would be God.
I would be the biggest God person ever. Well, the reason I bring it up is because someone that we all know and love has recently returned from vacation in Tokyo, Japan, and that is our friend Rodney Bingenheimer, Sunday nights, late nights here on K-Rock. He's got his new music show that he does. In fact, he was just talking about it this past weekend after he returned.
Anyway, best time in Japan, what can I say? Stayed in Shibuya, which is a great area to stay in, and went to, even did karaoke.
Okay, hold on a second.
Hold on a second. What?
Rodney doing karaoke? What? I can't even imagine what that sounds like.
What would inspire him to get up on stage?
I can't imagine, because he's such a quiet, like, shy guy. Like, I can't picture him getting up on stage, grabbing that microphone and belting out the hits. Or, excuse me, honking out the hits like he does. Can you?
No, I can't imagine. No. I wish we could hear some.
Well, I mean, we have some of the audio.
What?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Omar pulled some of the audio that Rodney had from him singing karaoke.
Somebody was there and filmed it?
Yes.
I can't believe the K-Rock microphones were there.
Best thing ever.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I have three clips.
I am.
Here's song one, Rodney Bingenheimer,
karaoke.
Then I saw her face.
Okay.
Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind.
Singing.
I'm in love.
Well,
twins. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried.
Wow.
The crowd makes sense.
He'd be singing the Monkees, of course. It's his favorite band of all.
The crowd was into it.
Yeah,
they were
in the
dance. Sounds like he was singing it.
All right, here's song two.
I walked along the avenue. Never thought I'd meet a girl like you. Meet a girl like you.
Does bring it.
All right. With auburn hair and tawny eyes. The kind of eyes that hypnotize me through. Hypnotize me through.
Well, oh, now they're going crazy.
That makes sense, too, because what does Rodney love? He loves
80s.
The
80s. Absolutely.
Right? So, of course,
hates
he would be
90s.
Singing. Hates the 90s. Of course, he'd sing that song.
Sure.
One other? You want to hear another?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Rodney, karaoke.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny.
What?
When a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull out your tuff, cause you know that butt was stuffed. Deep in her jean she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh baby, I wanna get with you and take your picture. My homeboys try to warn me, but that butt you got makes me so horny. Alright,
oh, no.
Big butts. Yeah.
Are they butts turning
are
on him?
Godhead.
Butts are God. Did not see that coming.
2012 Stanley Cup. That is all. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54.
Wednesday morning. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, I don't know if you had a chance to hear any of Mr. Reitman talking Ghostbusters.
I did. I listened intently.
I wish we could have him in tomorrow and do the exact same segment and just talk about Stripes, and then have him the next day and just talk about Meatballs, and the next day and just talk about Animal House, and so it goes.
Yes.
What a legend.
So good.
Super fun.
I agree.
Super fun.
No, I think what Bean is
saying. He's not yelling
at
you. He's just excited.
He was he's legendary, I think, is what Bean's trying to get across.
I'm on his side.
And by the way, still making movies, obviously. He just had Draft Day, just directed Draft Day, a couple of years ago? That
That's
Kevin
right.
Costner movie a lot of people like. So the guy's still working.
Yes.
So I like him.
Okay, so Bean approves.
He's a Bean-approved guest.
Thank God.
He put that stamp on his forehead before he left. And
am I just wasting everyone's time
right
now?
Yes.
All right.
A little bit.
Why are you trying to convince us to love a guy we already love?
Okay, I'll stand down.
Are you menstruating right now?
That's what we need to know. Hey, Madonna is going to be on Jimmy Fallon tomorrow night with President Obama. That's a weird mix.
Oh. Tonight, are they doing a Prince tribute together?
Yes, they will. And Jimmy Fallon's going to make him do a lip-sync battle or something. And
the camera's going to stay only on Jimmy Fallon.
That's right. Jimmy
like
will push
does.
Him out of the way. Jimmy will push the president out of the way. The Secret Service will come out and wrestle him to the ground. It's going to be very exciting.
Why is the president going on with Jimmy Fallon? He's not running for anything.
I think it's just a farewell tour. It's
this
maybe a victory lap.
Yeah. Yeah. This is victory lap.
Look at my numbers. People like me now because look what's a-coming, he's saying, basically. You thought I was bad? I'm so presidential compared to these two. Look at me now.
I do feel like it would be a pretty easy third term if he was allowed to run.
Yeah.
Compared to the alternative.
A lot of unhappiness out there with the options.
Let me ask you guys this question. If Bill Clinton were allowed to run,
yes,
would he win right now?
Oh, kidding me?
Yeah, I think a landslide. I think so.
Okay. Is it too late? Can't we change the rules? Can't we?
Well, it takes a while to change the Constitution.
Sit down.
Yes, we could.
Can Bill run on the ticket with Hillary to be her vice president? Can he hold that position?
A lot of people have asked that question, and I don't know that there's a definitive constitutional answer to that.
Why don't you know that?
You of all people.
No, what I'm saying is I don't think there is an answer that has been established yet. There's been no ruling on that.
Let's make it happen.
Uh-huh.
And then have Hillary just step down. I'm not feeling so good. I'm going to take 4 years off.
You're going to make all that happen?
I'm going to pass the baton to this guy who's the VP. I'm not sure. What, Bill? Is that his name? Here you go. Boom.
That's how we get around it.
I see.
Don't tell anybody. But
hey, it worked for President Selina Meyer.
That's how we get around it. It's a TV show, B. Not a real president.
I wish she was.
Do you really?
Yes.
I know. When I watched that show, I was like, oh, boy. She's spectacular. All right. Speaking of television, good news for some people like me and Allie. Nashville.
Good people.
Nashville.
Yay!
Lots of rumors that CMT, the network. I didn't know there was such a network. But apparently CMT used to be Country Music Television, right? Is that what it used to be before they changed the title? We'll be picking up a fifth season of Nashville, which was canceled by ABC last month. So, formal announcement expected to be made tonight during the CMT Awards.
Country music sucks.
Can't wait to see their Prince tribute. It's going to be great.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. I think Briggs and Stratton are going to come out.
Briggs and Stratton?
Yeah, they're going to come out. And Billy Joe Tankle.
Is that
he'll
some,
come out?
Is that one of the...
Purple Rain!
Oh, no.
Purple Rain!
I like it. The country music is so good.
Yeah. That isn't good for you.
So, we'll wait and see. Another thing, we didn't talk about this. We didn't have time because P was too busy defending Chad.
Oh, yeah, he is a Chad apologist. You're right about
lover.
That.
Wow, jeez. That was disturbing.
Let's change the intro to Ralph and Chad.
But the Bachelor needs to stop... having the personal concerts for the dates. They take two of them on a date and they go some wilderness spot. And I have one more surprise for you, JoJo says. And they go around the corner and there is that guy and his band playing. You're like, I got nothing. Who's that guy?
Who was on last night, Ralph?
I haven't written down someplace.
He has to look at it because he doesn't know.
Dan and Shay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No. Oh yeah.
Dan and Shay.
Dan and Shay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You can't. If they're going to be in The Bachelor and it's going to be an exciting moment,
they're very, very, very popular with country music audiences. Though.
No.
Yes,
no.
They are.
No,
they
are.
Nope.
They are.
No.
No, they're
okay.
not.
It's a great argument.
Dan and Shay. When they turn the corner, I, as a hardcore Bachelorette watcher, have to go. Oh my God! They're playing for them. You can't put Dan and Shay on the stage. With a smoke machine and say, aren't you impressed?
You guys know Dan and Shay from...
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
They are good.
Are you sure that's them? I thought this was them.
Darkness impersonating me. All that I see. Absolute horror. I cannot live. I cannot die.
She's good.
She is good.
Is she Dan or Shay? Which one is Shay?
Are you positive that's it? Because I think it's...
I like big butts and I cannot lie.
No, that's
you
not.
Other brothers can't deny.
That's not Dan or Shay.
That's
not. Okay, I know for a fact.
So do you think that the record company goes to ABC and says, what, we'll pay you if you let our performer go on and tap into your vast audience? Because it's certainly not organic. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit at all.
So what do they do?
Tap that vast, they say.
Do they play and then they, like... watch them dance or
that's
they
what
kiss?
You, they do. They start playing and the smoke machine kicks up and then they get into a slow dance and then you hear a lot of voiceover saying, I didn't know if I have an emotional connection with Chase, but it really feels great. And it's about 3 minutes of them slow dancing.
Wow.
It's invariably like one per episode they'll bring some band out and you're like, who are those people?
Well, maybe The Bachelorette doesn't have to be 2 hours every week then.
How dare you?
Well, that's
you.
My thing. I always thought it would be 2 hours at the beginning when there's so many people. But as it narrows down to 6, 5, 4, 3 people,
don't
you would think.
You take a minute of it away.
Okay, all right. Okay. What about the singers that they bring in? How about taking them away?
How about better singers is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
How about Axl Rose comes out?
How about better quarterbacks?
Jordan's dreamy.
I didn't mean him. Was it Roethlisberger on last night?
Yeah. Again, we didn't even have time to touch on that.
Wow.
They had a football game between the two. They split the guys up in the group date into two different camps, and then they made them play a football game against each other. But Aaron Rodgers' brother, Jordan, was the quarterback for both teams.
Okay.
Which seemed fair. And Roethlisberger and Hines Ward were sort of the coaches for the teams. And Roethlisberger, to his credit, did not sexually assault JoJo once.
Oh,
and
wow,
I thought that was showed remarkable restraint.
Yeah.
Remarkable restraint on his part. Yeah, so
sounds like the treatments are working.
Good.
I think they are, yes. Don't say chemical castration isn't effective. Today's celebrity birthdays. Frank Grillo is 51 years old today. He's a badass. He's a bad mother. Just talking about Frank. Look, you don't want to play? Fine.
Thank God.
Juliana Margulies is 50. Maria Menounos celebrates her 38th birthday, and Kanye West turns 39 today.
Because, baby, I'm awesome.
Let's not forget he's awesome.
He is awesome.
He's also awesome.
I'm also awesome.
And if you don't believe it,
y'all know.
Just ask him.
Y'all know. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Torrend Ebner does not sound like it could be a person's name, but apparently it is, living in Long Beach and calling the Kevin and Bean Show to win those tickets for Weezer and Panic at the Disco, playing Irvine Meadows on August 6th. Also eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Monday to see those bands and more at the Summer Sonic Festival in Tokyo, Japan.
Torrend Ebner.
Your chance to win is coming up at noon with our friend Kat Corbett. Get all the details at kara.com.
Torrend Ebner.
Nope. Please don't.
Torrend Ebner.
No.
What's that name forwards?
Well, that's what I thought too, but it's Torrend Ebner.
That's
his name. I don't know what to tell you.
Torrend Ebner.
It's time for
Facebook Tweet Bee.
Oh, come on.
Facebook Tweet Bee.
Come on.
Now, come on to you, sir.
Yeah.
What's this about?
Why do you keep tweeting? That's what I want to know.
Why does anyone keep tweeting? Because you enjoy having an online relationship, social interaction with your friends and fans.
Is it a relationship?
It's an abusive relationship.
There's
some domestic violence going on here with those tweets.
But I converse with a lot of listeners this way who contribute a great deal from the show and give us a lot of good feedback on things, and I find it very helpful.
Let's take a look at one of your conversations you have with your listeners via one of your tweets. Let's see what fascinating things you are having conversations with fans of yours via tweets. Okay, let's take a look. Hey, WMUC Radio. Are a lot of people not showing up for their shifts lately? Or is the station off the air? Nothing on the stream often. Thanks.
Okay, now what's wrong with that? That's just like any other consumer complaint. You go to a
company. All your fans like that conversation you had with them about WMUC radio?
No,
you didn't tweet it just to them?
Consumer
complaints, you complain to the actual place.
Well, I did. That was a tweet for WMUC radio, whose stream seems to be down a lot. I was complaining about that.
There was some way you could directly talk to people one-on-one, except for going through a mass media social media.
Did you think some guy would be like, oh, yeah, Frank didn't show up today. Sorry.
Look, this is my college radio station that I still tune in to several times a week. And they oftentimes, there's nothing on the air.
But
and it
who
concerns
cares?
Me greatly.
Why?
I care. Because where the hell are they?
Who cares?
What's going on in Maryland?
Station in Maryland.
Yes, that's why
pick up the phone and call them.
Thanks for that tweet.
How about an email? How about sending them an email?
Look.
No, you look.
No. Look, the tweet. Tweets are the way a lot of people communicate about a lot of things. If you want to send a message to the Bachelorette, you don't send them an email or call them on the phone. You tweet at them
you
and hope that somebody with the show will see it.
The Bachelorette has millions of viewers that may share my opinion about what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. How many of the WMUC radio audience do you think you hit with your tweet?
Did you get like 1,000 retweets?
Were you notified from Twitter? Congratulations. This is the most retweeted tweet of the day.
I'll be honest and I tell you that one was pretty quiet.
Oh, shocking.
That's a tweet.
How about this one? Hey, guess what stamps they are out of at my local post office? This one. Incredibly popular, or they didn't bother to order? With a picture of a stamp with Pluto on it.
Right, this is the new Pluto stamp, but I went down the first day they were for sale, and they didn't have any at my post office. I was very upset.
Bean.
Yeah.
I ask you again, who cares? Does anybody that's reading your tweet care that you can't get your Pluto stamp?
Well, I got them, obviously. I ordered them online and got them through the mail. But my point is, there are Pluto enthusiasts out there who would be interested to know how available the
how
New
many
Horizon
of them did
stamp
you hear
is.
From?
Not a lot, but that's not...
That's
not
tweet.
Bean!
What time is the news with Paul Harvey on these days?
Wait, what? Isn't he dead?
Yeah.
What the? Why?
Yeah, he's very dead.
Bean!
Why would you?
I just. Who? I was thinking about the great Paul Harvey the
why
other day.
Why were you
and
thinking
just,
about him?
Because I miss him. I miss him, and I like him, and I.
You like him, and so this is your touching tribute?
Yes, that was my touching tribute. I wish there were a way we could still hear the great Paul Harvey.
Tweet.
Bean.
Maybe they can play him on WMUC.
I wouldn't hear it. Nobody would show up to play it.
Right?
Thanks, autocorrect. There wasn't a famous chipmunk named Albino. That's where I typed Alvin in the first place.
Right, you've had that happen where autocorrect has screwed you up because they corrected
Bean.
Something.
We don't need further clarification on any of your tweets. We all know what you're talking about.
Because I had made a tweet.
Occasionally they put another word.
That had an error in it, and I thought I would then follow it up with an explanation as to what happened. That's all.
Right.
That's
right. Tweet.
Bean.
Only 12% of people surveyed say that improper spelling in text messages bothers them a lot. But way more say it bothers them a lot.
Did I hear a chuckle out of the girl?
Get out.
You get out, Allie.
Oh, my Lord.
Allie, this is not working. This is an intervention. We all have to be a unified group.
You don't hand them a syringe.
Right.
Because it's the two different ways to write a lot.
Right,
because
a lot of people
we get
write
it.
A lot, A-L-O-T, and that's not a word.
That's that
tweet.
That's the point.
When you heard Exaggerator play second in today's Kentucky Derby, your first thought was probably, but really sixth, right?
Stop!
You get the hell out!
I love you, Allie.
Turning off Allie's mic. Is everybody cool with that?
Oh, hell yes.
All right. The horse's
there
name is
go.
Exaggerator. How is that not a legitimate comment?
That's right.
Tweet.
Bean!
And lastly, my favorite one, Fresh. Fresh as today's headlines. Hillary Clinton's mother was born on 6/4/19, the exact day the 19th Amendment was passed allowing women the right to vote.
Okay, now let's talk about that for a minute.
Let's not.
Here's a woman.
Because none of us care.
When her mother
right,
was
but
born,
we don't care.
Women weren't allowed
Here's
to
the
vote
thing
in
about
America.
That. Don't
right.
care.
And a generation
care,
later,
care,
her daughter
was allowed to vote.
Might be the next president
don't
of the United
care.
States. I'm saying that's remarkable process of progress over the course of less than a century.
It's pretty historical.
It's pretty historic. It's that's all
those
I'm saying.
Dates don't tie in at all.
What do you mean those dates don't tie in?
Right. So she was born on a date where women were allowed to vote.
Right.
Hillary Clinton's not the first woman to vote.
Right, but now she could be president.
Right,
that's completely significant. I'm saying what a difference it made going from her mom's generation to her generation. I was very proud of the progress we've made with women's rights.
Because if she hadn't been born on that day, there would have been no progress made. No one would notice that she's the first woman running for president if her mother hadn't been born on the day that women's suffrage was passed.
Look, I just thought it was...
She's not responsible for it. She was just born on the same day.
She didn't even vote because she was born. She didn't march.
Just saying, how far we've come.
That's all I'm saying is Allie's mic is off again. It's just I thought it was interesting symmetry. That's all. And it was relatable and it was current and it
Thanks
was
that tweet.
Up to the minute.
Now we know Allie's come too far. That's what we know because she can still talk.
No kidding.
Thanks for that tweet.
Yeah, 106.7 K Rock. It's Roddy on the Rock here, back from Tokyo, Japan.
Oh.
Wow, what a time that was. Mm. Anyway, you heard a bunch of the bands that I saw over in Tokyo.
Mm. Right.
No, the name, I'm not allowed to say the name of the band.
What?
FCC rules. But I'll give you hints.
Okay.
Okay.
It's something that a girl and a boy have on their chest.
Nipples.
But add Twister to that.
Oh.
It begins with a T. Boys and girls have them.
I feel like that's enough clues.
Areolas.
Twister.
Areola Twister.
It's two words. Begins with a T, and then Twister.
Tattoo.
The name of the
Tattoo
band.
Twister.
Can't
Good.
Say the name. Isn't that weird?
I think we got it.
And here are the Monkees. Okay.
Thank you, Roddy. Thank you very much. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. Here's Ralph.
He's the best.
He's
simply the best.
He really is the best.
Before I get to showbiz news, let me give you something, because you're nice. I'm talking to the listeners, not you guys.
Oh, okay, good. I was wondering.
This Saturday at Santa Anita, once again, another legendary K-Rock Brewfest.
Yay!
Infield opens
the kids love to drink, I'll tell you that.
And they love wagering on the horses.
Oh, man. Those 5 and 6 year olds, woo!
You know how kids love ponies. They love betting on them even more than they love petting them and feeding them sugar cubes. It's happening at 11 a.m. at the infield. That's when it opens up. The first race is at noon. But besides that, there's going to be a band there, Knight Rider, an 80s tribute band will be performing. There's 40 different local breweries represented you can drink from. Racing program, tip sheets, quite the event. It's only $5 to get in, but I'm going to give you a little something special, a little incentive to get here.
Don't just rush over that. It's $5.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Seriously.
It's a pittance. You find that in your sofa cushions at home, right?
Along with other stuff.
With Kevin, because stuff falls out of his pockets all the time. I got a 4-pack of VIP backstage tickets to this Saturday's Brewfest at Santa Anita. You will get free access to the beer garden and concert. You get 2 drink tickets, a racing program and tip sheet, and then VIP areas for wagering and to hang out backstage. And if that wasn't enough, listen to this lineup of impressive K-Rock talent that will be there to meet and greet with you. Stryker. He has a tail.
He does have a tail.
Omar, more than likely, will be holding. So that's a plus. Dave, the King of Mexico.
Is rad.
He is way rad.
Or red, whichever, I don't know.
Lightning?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lightning. Right?
Everybody say hey!
Hey!
Oh! Everybody scream!
I know, right? Super Steve. Chip will be there.
Woo!
Chip will, at your request, if you're down there on Saturday, she will join your band and break it up for you if you're looking to break up your band.
Free of charge.
Free of charge. And then...
It's just what she does.
I save the best for last. Beer Mug. Beer Mug will be there with a baby Bjorn.
No.
It'll be strapped to him. You know it. He'll be walking around like a Sherpa.
I don't
carrying that kid.
Just a cane.
That's right. With a Boda bag full of formula. So, all that will be yours. Call me now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First person through with that phone number. Got to be 21 years of age or older to win this, however. So, make sure you're 21. Call now, and the first caller through gets tickets to the K-Rock Brewfest.
Let me tell you. I'm in radio, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Right.
What else you got?
I think that's all he got.
You know that he was in radio? You guys watch that 16 and Pregnant over there on MTV?
Yeah! That's hot!
That's the one where Drew knocks up the teenagers?
Dr. Drew single-handedly impregnates women. Yeah.
He does not impregnate them.
Oh, sure he does. Jordan Cashmere is one of the fixtures on that show. She's in rehab. She was fired from her job at a gym a few weeks ago
then got so drunk she fell and suffered a concussion last week.
Oh, no.
So now her two-year-old daughter is living with her paternal grandmother, and she said, I'm going to get my life together. Here's my advice. Keep letting these train wrecks go on television to really bolster their anticipation about what their life's going to be like so that when they're faced with a harsh reality, that they crash even harder. I think that's the best.
That's the best way
best
to go?
Formula okay. for these girls. Yeah, so that seems like a good idea.
Put them up higher so it's a further fall to the bottom.
Right. Let them feel like they're celebrities and stars and then yank it away from them and then just watch the free fall. When do we stop putting train wrecks on television?
When did we or do we?
When will we? When will we recognize this is not a healthy form of entertainment?
I don't know, but I'll stop watching.
Stop watching television if they do that?
I know that.
Yeah.
But then there's no Chad in your life if there's some sort of a vetting right? process to get people on reality shows.
Well, I think that's different.
Yeah, these are kids.
These are kids. It's like the Honey Boo Boo phenomenon. I found that just revolting because Honey Boo Boo now thinks she's somebody.
Right.
And she's going to be...
We did enable her.
Slinging horsey sauce at Arby's in a couple of years saying, what the hell is this? I'm entitled to more. And then glug, 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 glug. And you got to drown the pain, right?
How good is Arby's, though?
Oh, seriously. I could go for a roast beef sandwich right now.
So good.
By the way, I guess this is sort of related, Ralph.
We'll see.
That means it's not related at all.
You know, I bet Pluto feels disappointed, too.
No. Chewbacca mask mom.
Oh, yeah.
I saw an update on her the other day. She's received over $150,000 mm-hmm. worth of free cash and prizes and merchandise and everything like that.
Yeah.
And is still out on the weekends at conventions now selling her autographs.
Yep, she's signing autographs.
That's what
for
she's
a
doing
price
for money, yes.
At the Comic Cons.
Wow. She sat in her car and shot a video of herself in a kid's mask, and now people are paying for her autograph.
I thought it was just the one that she was invited to by Peter Mayhew, so she was taking selfies at that one.
No.
She's actually on working the circuit?
I think she's on the circuit.
Wow.
I think that's right.
Huh. And so what was the university that gave her full boat scholarships?
Yes, it was a Christian university mm-hmm. with full scholarship for her kids, right?
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Because she put a mask on and laughed like an insane person in her car.
She brought people joy.
Yeah. Have
people
you seen the video it. Since where she's at like a Disneyland meeting Chewbacca? She's like, ah! She's still doing the same thing.
Oh,
that wears thin. That wears thin.
That laugh gets old quick.
Oh, my Lord. Well, good for her, right? That's what we're saying.
I got to take off my glasses for it.
Mm-hmm. glug.
Naturally. Okay, here we go. So... Yes! Now watch when my mouth actually moves.
I feel like this was...
That's not me making that noise, it's the mask!
I feel like this was 10 years ago already.
Bean, that's not her making the noise!
It's the mask.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Well, there you go.
That's happy. It's just pure happiness, Ralph.
It's just joy.
Why do you hate joy?
I don't hate joy.
Arby's, though.
Arby's. Pretty
Who's
good.
With me?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
That's not what the internet was made for, that woman and her Chewbacca mask.
That's exactly what the internet was made for.
What
are you talking about?
It was made for songs, popular songs from K-Rock artists being sung by barnyard animals. That's what it was made for.
Okay, I'm down with that as well.
I submit... Your Honor, Insane Cherry, the YouTube channel Insane Cherry, where they've taken clips of goats, cows, dogs, foxes, and other barnyard animals and edited them together to make them sing popular songs.
They do good work.
They do amazing work. Here's a little taste of their White Stripes hit, Seven Nation Army, as done by barnyard animals. A scholarship.
Sweat, blood, sweat, and tears writing that song and then has to listen to barnyard animals do it.
Jack White just released that on
so
vinyl.
So good.
You can get that on a colored picture disc now.
Oh,
a minute. You want that bean or?
I think I've.
You good?
I think I've.
Who is this music targeted for more than Bean?
It's not for me. I don't.
K rock songs being sung by barnyard animals.
That's plenty. That's
the AWOL Nation one that kicks off with a big deer fart. By the way, I recommend it highly. I've never seen that before. Sale, yeah,
oh, wow.
The Sale video kicks off with a deer in the woods just blasting one.
Oh, I didn't even know
they did that. It's educational as well as entertaining.
I can't.
We should play some highlights of this album. Is it an album or is there a lot
YouTube
of videos?
Channel, a lot
YouTube
of videos channels.
All right.
Made, yeah,
we'll have to play some highlights for Bean.
Well, I don't know that we need to rush right into that.
Like you would like it, Bean.
The deer's whole back end expands and explodes. It's kind of freakish.
I'm in.
It's wildly entertaining. Today's celebrity birthdays. Frank Grillo is 51 years old today. Juliana Margulies celebrates her 50th birthday. That's a pretty good 50, right?
That
there.
Really
yeah,
is.
That's a pretty good deal at 50. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Maria Menounos celebrates her 38th birthday. Bean, you're our Maria Menounos expert. What is she up to these days? Yeah, Entertainment Tonight? Is that her new
game?
She's
an E.
She's an E.
E, yeah.
E. It's 38.
Still a Celtics fan, though, right?
She is a Red Sox, Celtics, and Patriots fan.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's not even legitimate if you're from Boston.
That's strike one, two, and three.
She's actually, I believe, from Rhode Island. But, yes, she is a beautiful, lovely, talented woman with great taste in sports. Mm. Yeah, it's true, chap.
I heard she smells.
Nope.
That's what I
beautiful.
Heard.
Beautiful. Nope.
I have it on good authority she smells.
You have
right?
never heard
yeah.
that.
I heard she's a farter.
And a racist.
And a racist.
Smells like donkey ass.
She smells
nope.
like donkey ass. That guy
None
just said it.
No.
He knows.
That guy did just say it.
That was Steve Kometko. He works
Steve.
Over there, doesn't he?
Not for 30 years.
Smells like good. Donkey ass.
Good pull, though.
Maybe that's why they fired him. He kept telling tales about the other anchors.
Steve Kometko. What the
I thought he was still over there. I don't watch a lot of E. How was
My
I to know?
God.
They should have released, put a press release out or something or letting him go.
But Walter Cronkite's still doing the news, right?
Yeah. Hell yeah. And Kanye West is 39 years old today.
Because baby, I'm awesome.
He is awesome.
He is.
Awesome.
He is also awesome.
I'm also awesome.
Also awesome.
Y'all know.
Y'all know. Happy birthday, Yeezy. What do you get for the man who thinks he's everything?
That's a great question.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out to SoCal. Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon with a commercial-free hour at 5 p.m. here on the world-famous K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, more barnyard animal music.
Woo!
Because Bean is requesting it.
Well,
because
I don't
if Bean
think
really
that
wants
was me.
To hear it, who are we to deny him that joy?
I love his barnyard animals.
He loves them.
Full up.
He really does
that.
Love them. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Bridezilla's on tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show. Jim Rome talking sports and Dr. Drew like we do on Thursdays. That's tomorrow morning.